Hi, John. Looks great.
We're good. Thank you. Good morning, and I would like to call to order the regularly scheduled Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting for Thursday, May 19th. We are in the Veterans Memorial Building. I show that all but one member of the board is present, and now we have been called to order. At this time, I would like to open it up for public comment. Any person in the audience wishing to step forward and address the board may do so now. If you would please state your name and city of residence when you step forward. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tyson Stockton. I'm a graduate student over at Cal Poly. As some of you know, I'm doing a study or wrapping up a study on the Morro Bay residents' attitudes towards tourism. And I just wanted to give a quick kind of update on where the study's at. We've finished all of the data collection, had actually a great response rate. It turned out to be 62%, which is considerably higher than I hoped for. So 720 went out, including the 20 that were part of the pilot study, and I received 407 back. So with that amount of responses back, we're able to have at least 95% confidence interval for the overall attitudes of the entire community. And still going through kind of the details on the data analysis. But it has shown in the initial analysis that there is a relationship between the economic knowledge as well as environmental knowledge of tourism and their overall attitude. And just kind of a summary of like the attitude, I used a 5-point Likert scale with 3 being neutral towards it. And the overall score was a little over three. So it is a slightly positive attitude towards the industry, but a pretty good distribution of overall views towards the industry.
Thank you. And when will the complete data analysis be done?
Next month I'll be presenting all the findings of it.
Oh, great. All right. We'll make that an agenda item. I think that'll be interesting for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your efforts.
Good morning. I just wanted to reintroduce myself. I'm Maggie Cox with Barnett Cox, and Sherry Clark from our office is also here again today. And we were present for the CPC meeting, and just wanted to join you and share what I said at the other meeting, is that we very much appreciate the help of Andrea Luker, John Sorgenfrey, and Rob Schultz in helping us through the transition. We've had several meetings. We have several more to go, and it's
the Relay for Life, our third annual Relay for Life here in Morro Bay. Last year, we had 22 teams, 95 survivors, and we raised over $36,000. We're looking to increase that this year. The money that's raised stays here in Morro Bay and in this county. They go to programs such as Look Good, Feel Better, a program that provides wigs and makeup to women who are going through chemotherapy, rides to doctors, appointments for cancer patients, and that's called Road to Recovery. There are support groups for cancer patients, man-to-man, prostate support group. And we all know somebody who's been touched by cancer. I don't know anybody who hasn't been affected in one way or another. Bakersfield has the largest Relay for Life in the state, is it in the nation? And they just finished their relay. And Heather's going to pass the information out about the relay over there. They raised over $2 million this year. They had over 400 teams with a minimum of 10 persons on each team. The day of the event, volunteers add another 500 to 1,000 people.
Thank you.
And all these are for good cause. And in August, it's hot over there. And Bakersfield is passionate about Relay for Life. And so what we're hoping is that your group, the TBIT, or the hotels and the restaurants here in Morro Bay can help to advertise the relay over there, our relay, and bring people from the Central Valley over to here to participate in our Relay for Life. They're going to need a place to stay. They're going to need places to eat. Yes, we have people that will be at the relay all night, but a lot of people don't want to do that. And they're going to want to go to restaurants and to hotels. So we're hoping that we can get on to the agenda next month. And we have a 3-minute video that we could show, and it really shows a lot. Do you have anything to add?
Like Virginia said, Bakersfield is a very strong relay community, and they aren't going to want to come and stay overnight, but they're going to want to stay in Morro Bay. So Andrea suggested maybe we could have the hotels or businesses offer a discount of 5% or something to them who have a relay shirt on, that just for strictly for the weekend of relay. Relay is a very strong bonded group of people, and it doesn't matter where they're from. If they know there's an event and they're going that way, they're going to come and support that community 110%. So we really feel like we could work together in advertising and pulling all of those people from Fresno, Bakersfield area in August when it's hot and bring them this way to show them what Morro Bay has to offer.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have some questions for you, but we're going to need you also to fill out. I spoke to you about the form available online, a request for a funding form.
What weekend in August is that?
It's the first weekend, August 6th and 7th.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Anyone else wishing to step forward, please do so now. At this time, we'll close the public comment section. Thank you. Okay, and at this time, we will look to any board announcements. Are there any announcements from the board? Okay, then. We will move to the approval of minutes. The minutes are available from the February and April meetings. So did everybody have an opportunity to look those over?
I have an amendment to the minutes.
Okay.
Under the hotel packaging, when Karen made her motion, it's really not specific on what she moved to approve. And what it was a 15% weekday stay, and it's not in there. And it was through June 8th. Oh, that's this last one in April.
Thank you.
So I think that needs just to be clarified.
Through June 8th?
Yeah, it was through June 8th.
Okay. Yep. While we're on the April minutes, I also noticed it said here we moved to approve for the travel scope. I thought it was $4,000, not $3,000.
Okay, I move that we approve with those amendments the February minutes and the April minutes with the amendments.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second.
We have 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Thank you. At this time, we could move to monthly reports, but we do have, under new business, a discussion of the Film Commission, which we received a report a couple months ago. This has been lingering out there on our items to bring back on our agenda. And Janice Peters, who's looking to head up the Film Commission, or who is heading this effort for the Film Commission, is only available for a brief period of time this morning. She has another commitment, and I'd like to be courteous to her. If the board wouldn't mind moving her to the top, we would need a motion to do that, would we not? We would need a motion.
I'll make a motion that we move the from unfinished business. Which item is that?
New business.
New business. I'm sorry. Item. Item A and new business to right now.
Is there a second on that?
I'll second.
Oh. We're getting lots of twos today. Any discussion? Then all in favor? Aye. Opposed? There we go. All right. At this time, Janice, turn it over to you. Thank you for coming. I appreciate the short notice arrival.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm Janice Peters, and I am on our Community Promotions Committee, and I've kind of been taking this little presentation around. The VCB, whether you're aware of it or not, has for a long time had a film commission, but they've never had the funding for it to be a full-time position or anyone who could really go out and get all the information needed to be an effective countywide contact point. And it's not their fault that, you know, funding is just not there. So now that I have some free time, I decided that I would like to at least get this started in Morro Bay and then have it spread from there and have the individual cities gather the information needed, and then we can give it to the county and have that one contact point available. So it's going to be a grassroots effort to start out, starting here in Morro Bay, yay. And I also have met with all the mayors. I went to their monthly meeting last month and presented the idea to them. I will now follow up by going to their promotion committee meetings as well and talking it up in each community. Pismo Beach is definitely interested. John Sorgen Fry works with both us and them. And Susan Brazil and Peter Candela there have already said, yeah, we're all for this. So it may even be something that Morro Bay and Pismo Beach can go forward with together and get the rest of the county involved. There was a presentation with the VCB renewal, you know, reorganization, and they had someone from the California Film Commission there, and her estimate is if you've got a film company in, and this is for a feature obviously, your revenue to the community is about $5,000 a day for as long as they stay. You have mostly film crews for a feature will be 20 to 50 people. They stay anywhere from 1 week to 2 months. They're staying in our hotels. They're eating at our restaurants. They're shopping at our stores. They're buying equipment. They're renting things. It's constant revenue source while they're here. And in the case of a feature, it's another source of advertising when the movie comes out. And people see, oh my gosh, isn't that beautiful? Where was that shot? Morro Bay. We'll have to check that out. So it's a constantly benefit. It's constant benefit. It keeps going beyond the actual time when they're here. What you need, just as an aside, in Morro Bay, Blue Valentine, I don't know if you know the movie, it was nominated, Michelle Williams was nominated for Academy Award for her part in it at the last awards, and it was supposed to be shot in Morro Bay. They actually did a location scout here. I was with them. We had 35 locations lined up. They were going to be here for 2 months. The location fees would have been $500 to $1,000 a day for the various businesses and homes that they wanted to use. Unfortunately, because of a problem with Michelle Williams, they shot it on the East Coast. She was not available to come out here, so it didn't happen. But it would also have put some of our people in parts in the movie, and it would have been a great travelogue for Morro Bay. So, my background, the reason I'm interested in this, I worked in film production for 20 years in L.A. before I came here. And I shot mostly commercials, and that's a wonderful source because they come in for a day or two, they drop a whole bunch of money, they go home, and then they run the thing on TV forever. I'm sure you've seen the ads already out where The Rock is prominent. It's again, a wonderful advertising that keeps going and going. And also, once you have filming here, the location industry in Hollywood's a very tight-knit industry. So if they have a good time here, they're going to tell every other company, oh, yeah, go to Morro Bay. They're really film-friendly. They're really easy to work with. There's a lot of amenities there. Electronic stores, batteries, whatever. Office supplies, fax and copying facilities. Music stores, costume and party stores. Caterers, big business for caterers. They would rather have somebody local than bring them in from L.A. Hotels and motels, obviously. Restaurants, stores, obviously. Community theaters to draw from talent locally where they don't need a union person for extra work and things like that. Dance schools, facilities available, the Vets Hall, what you have available for rent that has space that they can use for filming. Car rental agencies, motorhomes, van rentals, taxi services, all of that needs to be cataloged and put on the website so that there's one source that they can go to and say, okay, here's everything that I need to know about Morro Bay and ultimately about the county. So right, and also a permit. Right now, each community has their own filming permits. What we would like to create is one that's good countywide. So the location scout just calls us one contact, and so here's a permit. It covers everything from a ranch in Paso Robles to the harbor here. And obviously, you're not going to use everything, but the parts that you need are there, and it's consistent throughout the county. So that's what we're trying to do as our first baby step. We're not asking for any money from you right now, but we will probably later, because it certainly would be a benefit. We're trying to create and collect that information. Neil Farrell put an excellent coverage on this in the Bay News, and I've already had a response from that, someone who is a caterer and interested. So that's what I'm looking for, and I just want to spread the word everywhere I possibly can to have people contact me or Craig Schmidt at the Chamber and let us know your information so that we can compile this production availability book. Once we get all that, we will have a designated phone line and we'll have designated email contact that'll be monitored constantly. One of the problems is if you call a city to find out about filming and you call on a Friday afternoon and that person isn't there that day and then you don't get back to them until Monday or Tuesday, you've probably lost the job. They move very quickly. You need to have someone who can respond immediately or within a few hours. So that's where we're going first, is to get the information. Once we have that information compiled, then we start with getting the phone number, the contact person. Ultimately, when we have our production book together, our website, we will go out and attend the location conventions that happen annually in Los Angeles and do some real outreach. But we don't want to do that before we have the system set up, because that would be just wasting our time, and if they have a frustrating experience, it's not going to help us at all. So this is not something I'm being exclusive about whatsoever. I'm very in touch with the VCB on the whole thing. We want to ultimately have this probably focused through the county, but to have it very easy for them to go from that one contact to anything they need in Morro Bay or Pismo or Paso, wherever. So that's the basic premise. That's what I'm working on now. It's not going to be a quick process, just gathering that information. I expect it's going to take anywhere from 2 to 6 months. So it will be an ongoing thing, but we're starting.
Thank you. So stick around. I think we probably have some questions and stuff for you. Anyone want to start? I have some specific questions, but you all probably will get to them. So.
When we were at the meeting in San Luis Obispo with everybody, the state has money in the film commission, a lot of it. I think you were there, Jenna.
Mm-hmm. I was, yes.
I think a film commission is a great idea. I can't wait for you to bring it back. We've had filming here before, and this is a great area, so I can't wait for you to bring everything back. And if you need any help from me, I'm there.
Great. Well, we need all the information on your hotel.
I had a question. So with the website, were you going to have it linked to morrobay.org, like a special section on that website, or are you wanting to do a separate website?
You know, that's going to kind of depend on how our advertising agency works it and what's the most efficient. Okay. It certainly, what I envision is that the county will have the main information. It'll be linked to each city individually. So, okay, you contact the county, you get the production book, and you say, okay, I want to shoot in Morro Bay. I'll contact this person to get my police for there, and I'll contact this person in Arroyo Grande who's got a ranch that I can use. But it's got to be funneled,
right?
But we have to get the information to funnel it to first.
Okay. And then my other question, when you said you're gathering this information, are you using the visitor's guide that we...
I'll be using everything available.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm just saying this, if we get it out publicly and people start bringing the information to us, that makes it that much easier. I'll go through the phone book and call everybody in Morro Bay. That's easy to do here. It's not so easy in the other cities. They're bigger.
Right. Because with the visitor's guide, it just like lists all the hotels. Are you wanting any more information? Or
seeing the public service impact?
What I've done is I've got Morro Bay's permit, and I want to collect them from all the other cities and the county and see if we can meld them into a one permit deal. And that's going to take some negotiation, I expect. I don't know what other charges are, you know, what Pismo charges versus Zorro Grande. I don't know. I'm going to have to find all that out, and definitely I will be working with the county to see what we can do as far as a one-shot deal. Again, there's a lot of preparation that's going to go into this before we've got anything ready to really launch.
I think my other question had to do, and it may have already been answered, with the website. If it's a separate website, is this basically going to be then like an information kind of one-spot information kind of shop? And have you talked, or, and I think you are, because you say here that your contributions to the communities and VCB information mm-hmm. dispersal right. with the VCB, with their film commission already in
yes.
place?
And right now theirs is very much in flux, but as I said, I'm in contact with them. Hopefully I'll be involved with what they end up doing. It's a matter of having a website for filming would not include your pretty picture shots. It needs to include your roads where they're going to do a motorcycle commercial. It needs to include the boats that you have that might be available for rental in the bay. It needs to include, there's a great location out in Paso Robles that has a ranch with a beach on it, you know, things like that. So it's not so much your tourism kind of visuals as very practical visuals, and that's going to involve a lot of local photography and now video. It used to be that you'd put out a hard copy notebook or photo book. Now the website is obviously the way to go. It's less expensive and it's much more effective. But yes, I'm working constantly in contact with the VCB. I'm not trying to do this exclusive at all. And they are the natural first stop. So hopefully we will maintain that.
So to hotels, because that's what we're addressing here.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels, the information you would need would be, you're saying you would need more than just the name of the hotel. Are you interested in how many rooms with the bed types? And
yes,
okay, multiples.
We would need to know.
So we can put that together, yeah. And we have a one-stop shopping on the back end of our site that we can contact our hoteliers, because I know that there were like 400 new beds just stuck into this room, into the hotels in town, and that we did have some bed type changes, so we do need to get that information put together. We can go about doing that for all the hotels for you, and
that'd
then
be great.
And then what can happen is, like, if Twizzlers comes in, because Twizzlers filmed a commercial here, I remember that, that's why when Twizzlers comes back and they want to film another commercial, if they need 15 rooms or whatever, I know it happens fast, so we can put that out as a blast on
right.
the back end to all the hoteliers very quickly so that they can bid for yeah. you and go back to you.
From a hotel, ideally we need the kinds of rooms you have, whether you have conference room facilities available,
right.
whether you have a continental breakfast supplied and what time, and also whether you have room for equipment trucks. Lots of times they have these big trucks that they've got to park someplace. So is there a place either on the street or in your parking lot that would be convenient for that? Or if they have prop cars or things like that, what your facilities would be?
So you're looking for covered parking versus...
It doesn't even have to be covered necessarily, because your equipment trunks probably aren't going to fit
matter.
In the covered parking.
Just big,
but as
okay.
long as you have space for them, if you have kitchen facilities, that's certainly a plus for somebody who's staying a long time. Just all that kind of information. Think about yourself if you were bringing in a group of 50
yep.
people for a month. What would
Janice,
you want to know?
Janice, maybe just to wrap it up, maybe you can just put a bullet list that you know what they look for, then mm-hmm. when we do the email blaster, we put it on the back end of our morrobay.org website.
Mm-hmm.
Each hotel can just check off what they
sure.
have,
that'd be great.
Hundreds, and then you'll have the information, and then it's up to the hoteliers.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
So if you do that legwork, then it'll help us.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, all if right. you shoot me a bullet list, we'll get it put into a spreadsheet and
that'd
get it
great.
Out to them and then get
okay.
it. The
and I don't know if John has here. Anything to add, because he's on the subcommittee that's doing this, too. So anything I didn't
no,
cover?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. I think the idea of a separate website, I think we might want to have it housed within our own website just because of the traffic that comes.
I agree.
But it could sort of exist on its own as well. So if you went to that link off of Classic or the moralbay.org, you would be able then to go and be able to, you'd still function as like its own separate website, but where you could download the forms and all that. But mm-hmm. probably just because of the traffic, that we get from worldbay.org. Probably be good to land it there.
That's what Ventura does. Ventura does that. They have a whole side of their website that's dedicated to filming and film.
I guess the county, I mean, first thing you think about is, you know, the coast along Cambria or something like that, or the Rock to film. But then I start thinking, you know, it's really like the Chorizo Plain or the Pozo Saloon.
Well,
some
you
of the places
have
that have so much character that need to get represented.
Well, you have places that are government-controlled, you know, state-controlled, and that's going to be a contact that we can provide, but it's not something that's individual to the city. So it's going to have to combine all of those things, Hearst Castle, the state parks. You know, that's something that we'll certainly have on our website, but they have to have control of the permits there. I'm not going to get control of that permit, and I wouldn't want to. So it is going to have to involve different agencies at some point as well. And the VCB, certainly, they're still in a reorganization mode, and as I said, I'm in contact with Noreen Martin, who's the current chair of that, and we'll be, you know, whatever they come up with a film commission, we're going to work with that.
And also, the TBIDs meet in a county-wide alliance, think you can get the word out, alliance effort once a month, and that's coming up next Wednesday. I can talk with them about getting you on the agenda for the following month, which would be June, of course. Well, it would be July, I guess. So we can try and get you there so that you can start gleaning support from all of those tourism entities, because the VCB comes to that, and then all of the unincorporated, we're talking about Hearst Castle, we're talking about the Carrizo Plains, all the unincorporated areas, and then the incorporated municipalities also attend.
Right. And I don't know if I mentioned, but Craig Schmidt took the same idea to all of the chamber directors at their meeting last week, I guess it was. So that's what we're trying to do, you know, start here and then do the outreach,
so
that's going to help.
From us, right now, we're just going to get a list from you.
I will do
that. We're going to put that together, get the hotel information back
Beautiful.
To you. I can help you with whatever else you might need hotel-wise, because of the communication link that we have going. And then just, I guess, keep in contact with you as this moves forward.
That'll be great.
Okay.
I will try and get that out to you this week.
Terrific. Thank you so much for
doing
this.
It's almost over. Next week. Okay. And thank you so much for putting me ahead on the agenda. I appreciate that. Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Jen.
Take care. Have a great day. Okay. So now we are back up to monthly reports. And we will start.
I just have to tell you, Dave Kastner was the film commissioner with the VCB for quite some time, so he may have information to add as well.
He's shaking his head no? He's okay. Whatever. Okay. I think as we move forward and we put together a whole group of people as we move forward and get it back, we have a thick agenda, so we'll try and stick to what we. That's okay. It was a great. It's a great suggestion. Let's see. So we'll go back up to monthly reports, and we'll start with the trade show subcommittee report. And for this, I'm going to actually have Nick address the group about the powwow that's coming up. We have selected a restaurant, and it's a wonderful little Mexican restaurant in North Morro Bay called Lolo's. And I will let him speak to how Lolo's is going to structure the post-powwow event and what he's going to do. Nick?
Right, and that's coming up Friday the 27th, I believe. It's in Paso Robles. And what we're going to do is serve ceviche, and we're going to use local fish from here in Morro Bay, and we're also going to garnish it with avocados from the area as well. So we're looking forward to that. I believe Michelle's going to come with us up there and set up some decor and from Morro Bay, and we'll represent Morro Bay very well up there. And there's other tea bids as well, theirs, and promoting their areas and their local foods and beverages. Oh, and also we're going to have, speaking of beverages, we're also going to have some samples of margaritas using agave wine. So we're looking forward to that, and it should be, I think it'll be very, very good event. Anything to add? Any members?
The only thing to add is the reason we chose ceviche is we're using fresh fish, trying to highlight our fishermen in a marketing effort to highlight our fresh fishing and our fisher people here. We have lots of fisher women. And also we wanted to highlight the Avocado Margarita Festival, which will be coming up in a few months, which is why, hence the avocados and margaritas. Yep. So we thought that it was a great fit, and we hope you do too. I see head shaking. Sounds good. I know I wish I could be there, but alas, my kids have a game. And then I will talk to you about Celebration Weekend. Sunset Celebration Weekend is coming up. Thank you. It's right in there, the 4th, 5th. Yeah, right in there. And I was getting emails back and forth from Member Schmidt, who is not here today, that we are getting low on our visitor guides. And it appears as though, and I don't know what the exact count is, not that we need an exact, like, 291 or whatever, but, you know, roughly, the rough count. And I'm wondering how many of those I might want to take, because you've worked Celebration Weekend before. We may need to do a print on those. I like the eyebrows raised.
You mean a print in time for Celebration Weekend?
Well, no, but I mean I can scrape what we have,
right,
and then we'll probably not have much.
To talk with him about that. I wasn't aware that we were getting really low, but I would imagine that you could probably go through at least 1,000 a day.
Mm-hmm. I think we have about 1,800 left.
Right, so you'd probably go through those. Wow, that's amazing that I didn't realize we were down that low.
Well, I had 3 cases at the bungalow in storage. I was trying to not he was cluttered up there, so uh-huh. I had garage space, and we stuck them in there. And then so he just came and picked those up from me, roughly 900 of those, and he had roughly 1,000 down at but that was a rough kind of.
I think I have a box too.
You have a box? Okay, that would be great.
But anyway, to answer your question, I think that probably, you know, you'll probably go through a good 1,800 of those. We do have the rack cards, so I would suggest, we have mm-hmm. quite a few of those, so I would suggest bringing those along as well, because a lot of people, they don't want the whole thing. They just want to have something small so they can refer to the website. And then one other item that really, really goes well, and even though it's sort of a promotion of the county, is the Central Coast Tourism Council book, because it has maps and it kind of gives everybody a whole picture in addition to Morro Bay. People really like those, but specifically they love the map. So that was the thing that was probably the most taken, was the map. And a lot of times people will say, you know, which is frustrating, where is Morro Bay? And then, you know, having the map there and being able to hand them a map and take them through and show them how easy it is to get from the Bay Area to here really helps to sell it. But I think it's a great show. It's really our target. And it's a great way to promote Savor.
Agreed. So I will get those things gathered up. But if you can,
But we might want to seriously think about, if you're that low, you know, doing some sort of reprint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you remember how many we printed when we printed?
I believe 10,000.
10,000, and that was in October. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, okay, great.
Because I think it would be, if you wanted to do a new guide, that'll take several months. So it might be a good idea. Maybe you try to have that same target again for the new revised one for Savor, mm-hmm. and then print enough to where it would take you through.
Maybe a half a print, 5,000 or something like
because
that.
Because as we get into the, you know, summer, we're going to have probably a pretty big need for those when people are already here with it. They want those.
Do you have a current budget? Do you know where we're at on that?
I think there's enough in collateral to get, you know, maybe 5,000 of them printed or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, you have funds to do it. We have funds in the fire sale, too. So you might want to put, just as a suggestion, you might want to put that on the agenda for June.
Yeah, reprint. Making a note. Okay, and so I wanted to tell you about that. And then Savor's coming up, and so, you know, people want to know what they're doing in October. And so we've had a few people reach out to us and ask if they were going to be part of SAVOR. And so one thing that this trade show subcommittee will be doing is meeting to establish this month who the chefs are going to be for the Battle of the Bay, hammer down what's going to happen with the kayak adventure and the stand-up paddle adventure that's going to take place on Friday, and then put a lid on the oyster tour as well. So the trade show subcommittee will be doing those and prepping those out and bringing that back to you in June. Huh. Anything else on that? No? Okay. Ooh. My favorite, review of the transient occupancy tax. Okay. On transient occupancy tax, don't get alarmed. Please remember that last year, spring break, 1 week of spring break happened in March. Okay, now. Also, look at this year we had 919 guest rooms. Last year we had 906, and that's because there was a hotel that was offline being remodeled, and it came back on in...
As this comes around, you'll see this is the budget up through the current time of what's committed. As you can see, we're pretty much taken through all of our print commitments. Very little left there. Internet advertising, very little left there. We do have money remaining for the billboard because that goes beyond the June date. And also funds still available in some of the other categories such as fire sale, collateral, visitor fulfillment, which is, again, ongoing, but there'll probably be quite a bit left over there. And that was kind of the design of the budget subcommittee, was to make sure that we had some funds left because we are going to be looking at funding SAVOR and some other things that will come up. And as you can see, you have, you know, ample money to look at expenditures for the trade show booth, which is coming up later, and you also have enough money, certainly between the fire sale and the visitor fulfillment, or excuse me, the collateral, to probably do a reprint of, say, 5,000, if that's what would take us through for the summer. So basically, it's pretty much where we were designing it to be. And if there's any questions, or I'll move on to my other items.
John, I have a question. When I was reviewing the TOT, I was kind of extrapolating out to the end of the year what revenues look like, and even adding in a bump up for April, considering the exchange of the dates of our spring break, I think they call it now, I'm looking at probably more like actual revenues coming in of about maybe $380,000 for the period. And I know we had some carryover. I want to say it was maybe $25,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, I spoke with Susan West Jones because we were trying to get addressed with the added 1%, where that would take us as far as did we have a surplus, because we talked about having, you know, additional money to do other things. And that surplus is not going to exist because of that. So I would not suggest, you know, allocating, maybe with the exception of the print, you know, reprinting of the guides, any more money, because we're not going to be under, but we're certainly not going to have that, you know, windfall of the added 1%. So I did have that discussion with her, and we were pretty much close to being on balance with that, what we had originally proposed.
I have a question on the billboard. That billboard contract, do you know it was, I remember that it was a year-long contract. Do you remember what month that was installed?
I do not. I think that we're getting pretty close to the contract, though, but I'll find that out for the next meeting.
Yeah, I would love to know that information so we can discuss that as a board and see if that's something we want to carry through.
And that's one thing that the new agency wanted to know as well, to make sure they could budget for it, so...
Okay, because...
And I expressed that we probably wouldn't be going renewing it, so...
You expressed that to them. And then did they say anything about... were you able to call them about the lighting situation?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. All right. Are there any other questions on the budget?
Okay.
I have one question. Saver is not on this budget, correct?
Right. That would come out of next year's budget.
And it comes out of next year's budget. Okay, that's what I want clarification on.
Yes, and they have sent us an invoice, and I am actually going to be giving it to Andrea today. I printed it, and then I'll email her an electronic copy, but I was going to email them back and let them know that that is not payable until after July.
Okay, and that's what my question was.
After July 1. Okay. And then, Andrea, I have a question for you on the budget. On the $50,000 that we pay towards the visitor center funding, when does that come out? Does that come out July 1st?
Right around there, generally. Or it can come out. It's really, I think she takes it, I think she took it out all at once. So she'll probably take it out at the beginning, I would guess.
Yeah, that money, that's another reason when Karen asked that question, that $55,000, which was not on this budget, has already been taken out of last for this last contribution.
Right, it was taken out, I believe, in November or December. When
after the motion.
After the motion, right. And it was $50,000, is that correct, Andrea?
Yes.
Okay, then just making sure. Okay, great. Thank you very much for all those answers. And back to you, John.
Thank you. Well, I'll give you a little update on Saver. I think most of you have seen this poster. So, as Joan mentioned, the creative subcommittee selected that photo, and I think it does stand difficult if they didn't make money this year, or at least not lose money. It would be hard to get the thing funded again. So everybody's heart is in the right place. Motivation is to make the event successful. So this video, we showed this. Some of you may have seen it. This was the kickoff up at Hearst Castle for the tourism month and kind of a kickoff for Saver, where the president of Sunset Magazine was there. And so this has been sent out by the VCB, the county VCB, to all the different BIDs, and we have it now on Pismo's site as well as Morro Bay's site.
Across miles of white sandy beaches in the blue Pacific, with beautiful rolling hills and green, lush, fertile valleys, is a very special part of Golden California. Just halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, San Luis Obispo County is the heart of the California Central Coast. Here you'll discover a unique variety of farm-fresh produce, seafood, award-winning wines, and a full range of outdoor activities set in an authentic early California culture. Last year, thousands of lucky people were able to enjoy all this by attending Sunset's Savor the Central Coast. The event that featured all that is good about the Central Coast is returning to San Luis Obispo County. Mark your calendars to Savor the Central Coast 2011, this year from September 29th through October 2nd. Savor the Central Coast 2011 will showcase our local wines, food, and travel destinations. Join the many exciting events in and around historic Santa Margarita Ranch and many other celebrations going on throughout San Luis Obispo County. Sample award-winning wines and specialty dishes as you join Sunset Magazine's editor-in-chief, Katie Tammany, and wine editor, Sarah Schneider, for the grand unveiling of the Western Wine Awards. Celebrity chef Kat Cora and Sunset's expert editors host culinary and wine seminars at the historic Santa Margarita Ranch throughout the weekend. It's wine tasting extraordinaire with taste samplings from over 200 wineries and 30 chef farmer teams. It's fun to explore the kitchen garden too, along with the backyard farm. And at the Central Coast Pavilion, discover enticing Central Coast destinations. And then on Saturday night, October 1st, it's a beautiful night out on the town for Paso Glow, an exquisite culinary experience. Or the Mission Plaza Winemaker Dinner, dine al fresco at the historic Mission San Luis Obispo de Tolosa, and experience the talents of San Luis Obispo's top chefs, along with selections of Slow Vintner's best wines. Go online now to purchase your tickets at SaverCentralCoast.com. September 29th through October 2nd, it's your chance to savor the Central Coast.
So that's a video, as I said, that we use as a marketing tool for all the different BIDs. And then if you could show that other DVD that I gave you, please. So I showed last month the DVD, Moral Bay Beautiful, and what there was a couple discussions. Actually, I didn't really care for the voiceover. I had a few other people tell me they didn't like it, or at least they thought it could be better. And so I selected a new voice, and also we had some quick shots of the hotels, so we went ahead and shot all the hotels, so everybody's included. And I did a couple of rewrites on the script. Wanted this to be, as I've said to you in the last meeting, kind of my best video for you. I wrote this one myself, and sort of like my swan song after 18 years. But I think you'll like this new and improved version, so I was going to play that for you. That buzz is not part of the soundtrack. It's all right.
There is a place nearby where the character of nature is unspoiled. Where the bounty of the earth and sea is evident everywhere you look, in the richness of the soil, in the freshness of the harvest, in the vastness of the ocean. It's a place of tranquility that permits visitors a rare glimpse into the qualities of life that are too often lost. It is a place that allows you to slow your heart rate, look deep inside, and discover that which is best about yourself. It is a place where you can come to discover your better nature. Morrow Bay, on scenic Highway 1, gateway to Big Sur, and over 100 miles of uninterrupted scenic coastline. Morrow Bay, where there are as many things to do as there are to see, and you're invited. Morrow Bay seems to bring out the playfulness in kids of all ages. All the tranquility, all the amenities, all the natural beauty, all the activities of an extraordinary seaside vacation, all right here, close by, for you to enjoy. Discover nature at its best. Discover the nature of true relaxation. Discover your better nature in beautiful Morrow Bay.
So that's with the new voice and all the hotels. And that's on our site currently. We're going to put that on Facebook too. So just a couple other items. As Tyson came and spoke with you, I said this at the promotions committee. He's done a great job. It's really nice to have Cal Poly as this asset that we can pull in from. And he's going to make a presentation. You'll have a joint meeting in June, so he's going to make a little, not a really long one, but he'll kind of cover some of the results that he found as far as what the impact on our residents, how they feel about tourism, and then maybe guide the new agency along on how we can have a campaign to educate them more on the value of tourism. Also, Maggie mentioned about the transition. We met with Andrea and Rob and the team from Barnett Cox, and so we had a good meeting there. We talked about different things, different elements of how things work, and then on Friday, tomorrow, we're going to meet at my office, and I'm going to have my staff, my web people, Rick will certainly be there, of course, my artist, my social media people, my media buyer, my accounts payable person, all will be there to hand off whatever's appropriate and just have a general discussion about what's needed to make the transition smooth. And I just wanted to share some stats with you for the county co-op, and Rick will cover this too in his report. But we, as you know, my firm and Middle Marketing put together the county VCB co-op working with them, and that was the U.S. Airways, Sunset Magazine, L.A. Times, San Jose Mercury News, and as of to date, according to the VCB, we've had over 4,600 people land on the landing page. That's the page that the ads direct them to. we had over 3,166 entries into the contest, and we've had 510 newsletter signups. So we're about midway through, so I think these numbers, I would hope, would probably double. But I think a good return, you know, over 4,000 people have gone to that landing page as a result of the campaign. One thing that's most significant for Morro Bay is that, and Rick will cover this, is the county VCB site became the number one referring site. And I think that's a direct correlation to the fact that we've increased the traffic to the county site substantially. But that also shows that once they went there, then they came to Morro, they came to the Morro Bay site. So that's the hope for everybody for the co-op. And so that's kind of the stats there. And then finally,
John, do you know how that's I'm sorry, excuse me. Do you know how that stacks up to other cities, that how Paso did with their pass through all that? Or
I can just tell you that, you know, the only one I'm really familiar with is Pismo. And I think you guys really tended to do even better than they, because they still had other sites that were more referring sites. But we definitely saw an increase in Pismo's numbers off of that site as well. And so I think that, you know, the overall idea of the campaign, not only to brand the county but also have a return for the investors, the different BIDs, is going to happen.
I can't tell you how many people flew on U.S. Airways and brought me that. Like, did you see that U.S. Airways advert? This what U.S. Airways? It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think I.
That's pretty funny.
I think I shared with you guys. I can't remember if I did, and I apologize if I've already stated this. But I was at the airport picking up my wife, and it had just come out, and somebody got off the plane. First, I had my video plane in the baggage thing, which was kind of fun. And then they came in, and the guy took it right out of his briefcase and was showing his wife the U.S. Airways thing. So, and I said, I helped on that. He went, really? Big deal. No. No. He was nice about it. But, yeah, it's something I think a lot of people that were from here, you know, saw it and thought, wow, this is really great. We've really arrived. So, yeah, it was good. I will tell you, though, I think that the U.S. Airways was certainly a good investment for us, but where the real results started coming in was off the banner ads, because Brittany would literally said that they were coming in by the hour, and that's when those banner ads hit. And the funny thing about it was that somehow she has it on her phone, that all the emails, so she had to sit there and delete all day long the inquiries on her phone. But anyway, so I'm going to bring Rick up and talk a little bit about the website.
John, can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
On the first video, the promotion for Saver, it's correct me or help me remember this, but it seems like last year for Saver there were somewhere around 8,000 attendees, but most of
this video is that it goes on our website and we get people from out of the area come to our website and then see the video and then would be inclined to buy tickets. I will tell you, thus far from talking to Steve Burns, they've sold twice as many tickets that they did last year, and they are really looking like they're coming from out of the market more. I will also tell you, though, just with my experience with events, almost all events start off really supported by the locals first, and then slowly they transition out as the locals get pushed out by the out-of-market people. And a good example of that is the Central Coast Wine Classic, which has been going on now for some time. I remember when Archie McLaren first launched that, they couldn't give tickets away. In fact, I used to get free tickets. No more. And now what it is it's basically everybody from Southern California, they put that on their calendar. A lot of people they book their reservation right then, and they come the following year. And I said this in this morning's meeting, my prediction would be that if we can hang in there with Saver, and I think it'll be much easier to do this year because I think it will, you know, be much more profitable, that within 3 or 4 years, I don't think we'll even need to market it. And it will be really truly an out-of-market event. But I think that's really nice timing with the celebration weekend, because they are going to promote Saver there as they did last year, but I think they're going to take even more of an effort. And certainly with all of the people like Pismo and Morro Bay, the county CBID going to this celebration weekend, that would be my main theme, is to sign people up for Saver, because that's your market right there. And they're all coming. Having gone to that show many times, most of the people that attend that show are Bay Area people. And they could come down real easy, and if they like Celebration Weekend, they're going to love Saver, and they would have to spend the night.
On that also, Saver had a big display at this Slow Chamber mixer last night, or the showcase too, so they were there in force. So
You know, when I cover the slow PCB report, I'll cover some new things, too, that we learned yesterday on the board. So there's a handful of stuff that they're doing as well, but I'll let Rick do that.
Web stats. One of the things, I apologize for the people that heard this report before, they're leaving the room now, in fact. I'll try to make it interesting for Sherry to listen to it the second time here. One of the things you got to always do, and I've been in retail for 24 years in Pismo Beach, and you always got to take the March and April stats and combine them. You can never separate them, the two. So you've always got to do that. So if you take the March and April stats of the visitors for this year and compare them to last year's, we picked up about 1,000 more visitors, which is pretty typical for the growth of the website right now. We were right because I think Easter Sunday was barely into April last year, and now it was buried deep into April. So touching on some of the things that John came up with is you can see the referring URLs. San Luis Obispo County is now at the top, and it's never been at the top before. It's always been down in the top six or something like that, and that was definitely from the ad clicking over from that the co-op. Pismo did see some bump into that. If you were at the meeting yesterday in Pismo, you would have heard the data, and it picked up about 90 more visitors. You picked up about 150 more visitors. One thing is of interest, John called me up. You know, I send the stats to John on Monday. He looks them over, and then he emails me back or called me and said, Rick, what's San Luis Obispo Vacations doing on our referring URL list so high? He says, find out what that's about. So actually, I went in and backtracked that. Why would another a bid be sending traffic to us? And so if you go onto their website, it's kind of interesting, under things to do, and you go onto their day trips, there is a page listing there, and on their day trips they list Hearst Castle with a link to Hearst Castle after a nice little article and picture. They have Paso Wine link, and they have then Morro Bay with a link to morrobay.org, and then they have a Solvang link. That's it. So, however you got that, there is actually a beaches listing that goes to another page that Pismo Beach isn't even listed on, which I thought was kind of interesting. Arroyo Grande's not there, but that's a really nice, benefit. I would not say anything about that because somebody might, say, well, why aren't I there, too? Because it is a good referrer. So
that's it's only fair, too, because they ran banner ads on our TripAdvisor page. So
yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. There's a big benefit for Morro Bay there because referring URLs are really, really important for lots of things. So then pretty much,
Rick, could I make one comment?
Oh yeah,
too?
Go ahead, John.
I think it's interesting too, as you look on the state detail, and for the longest time, we've always had local San Luis Obispo traffic because people are looking at events and finding out the weather and various other things. But if you look at the next largest category, which is not uncommon, it's Fresno. But if you also look right behind that, within less than 100 is Los Angeles. And Bakersfield is actually below San Francisco. So this really, I think, speaks to our targeting of our target market, target audience. That
moving on to the lodging report, this is basically using JackRabbit clicks and the click-throughs from your regular website. And one of the things is, since JackRabbit started in June, we still don't have any really good comparative data for the whole system working. But one of the things is looking at April's combined click-throughs, this is JackRabbit and your regular website click-throughs, it's at 4,729, and if you look at last April without JackRabbit, it was 2,733, which is a gain of 2,000. So once these things come in sequence here, they're going to show you exactly, what JackRabbit is doing as far as being additive. Remember, your website, there's two different ways to get to the same spot. So we'll pick, we'll pick one of Michelle's properties. So you can either come in through morrobay.org, go onto our hotel thing, go into the listings, click on La Serena, and you end up on their website. Or you can go into JackRabbit, do a date search or something like that, look at all the list of properties that are available, and click on La Serena and come back over. So what we're doing is we're seeing that these two paths are kind of separate, but it offers the people another way to get to the same area, and you can see it wasn't just subtractive. In other words, everybody was that was going in through the hotel, regular hotel page, was now going in through JackRabbit. It was an additional thing, and we don't know exactly what percentage it was additional, but it is an additional thing. And so, and then you look at the cost that you're paying JackRabbit, that's a really, really inexpensive way to acquire people to get on the La Serena website or anybody else's. So, And I'll touch on this in a second, but if you go over and you look, and I don't know if you've got this page, and I'll try to manually talk you through it. Go through the Morro Bay Hotels click-throughs is basically through morrobay.org. And if you look and if you look at the way in descending order, like Anderson's number one has got the most, number two is Ascot, number three Beach Bungalow, number four Bayview, number five is Anchor Inn. You notice they're all at the top in alphabetical order, and that's one of the things that you've got on your hotel page is it's all alpha descending order. So there, and then if you look over at the JackRabbit page of the same listings, you find out that, you know, down at the, you know, you've got Inn at Morro Bay is number three, Pacific Shores is number four, and Twin Dolphins number six. So once again, JackRabbit kind of levels the playing field. And one of the things that I'm going to show you in a while here is what the new version of the website is going to look like. And what we're going to do is we're going to eliminate the alpha order of the hotels on morrobay.org. If you could go to, just really quick of that, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Go to the current hotel page. Current hotel page.
And this is in regards to not redesigning the site, but as we've talked about, trying to get us off of the content management system of Elements. So we pretty much achieve that by now. And so when the new agency takes over, they really won't have to go through that third party like we've had to in the past.
So here is your typical right now. Actually, he did some search results, but you can see it's generally in alphabetical order. And that's something, that's what you're seeing is the reflection of these two reports. And if you go over to the new version of this, and I will talk about this, notice here what we've got is the same list without the pictures and everything like that. And what it is every time you reload this page, it reshuffles the listing, which I think is a lot fairer to everybody. And now we don't, I mean, apologies to the Anderson Inn and the Ascot Suites, but, you know, I mean, if I was the Tradewinds or somebody else down the list, I would, you know. And notice also, this has got the pet friendly symbol in it. So let me back up now why I got here, but I wanted to get here because we were talking about the lodging report. And if you got stat questions, we can go back to that. But Long ago, many months ago, we had the website subcommittee meeting, and we said, hey, we're going to sit there and change your website structure around, not the look, but the structure of it. Because, as John said, it you know, we're in a walled garden with what we had, and we wanted to break down the barriers of that and make it a lot more flexible. And there was a lot of things that we could apply to it. One of the things you're seeing now is this. Now, in the background, I had been converting this over to this new format. And what the problem was is we ran into a big, huge roadblock, is you basically didn't have control of your name, morrobay.org. It was registered through Network Solutions. I don't want to get too technical, but we didn't have the login and passwords for that because it was the Network Solution people who were the registrant, the technical advisor, the administrative contact. So finally with Craig, I got down to him and I said, Craig, this is not going to be easy for you, but you got to do it. You got to go in and get control of your website and get the, so its email address is something something at morrobay.org, and you get the login and password so we can point, because right now your website and the new link is to right to your online reservation page if you have one. It also has a location map and street view. This is going to keep it a lot more consistent and a lot better. And also, if you look up above the picture there, where that's the breadcrumb navigation, it says Lodging, Morro Bay Hotels and Motels, Best Western San Marcos Inn. That's all to basically sit there to trick the search engines, because all that's wrapped in headline tags, which means that's really important. And then if you look at the URL, which you can't see the URL up there, but the URL of that would be morrobay.org/bestwesternsanmarcosinn. That's the name of the page. So once again, a lot of this is background structure. It doesn't look a lot different, but for the structure and for where we're headed for, it'll be a lot easier to add and change this website around. So, but now that we've got access to the keys to the kingdom, we can sit there, load the site up, move it to the server that it'll be on, and all this should be done hopefully within a couple of weeks now. So last but not least, smartphone. I've been tracking smartphone devices hitting on your website. If you look at April of this year, you had 1,853 smart devices hit on, and that's just in the big four, which was basically 10%. One out of every 10 people that hit on morrobay.org hit on was a smart device. Last year at this time, it was 3.3%. Okay, which is a growth of three times, and this is going to continue on. So one of the things that we are now being able to do when the site is moved to the new server that can house your mobile smart device app, that will now finally become live. We couldn't really do it because there is no place to really upload it. It's sitting online right now. It's been tested, but when I get it to the new place, so your mobile app, your smart device app will be morrobay.org/mobile, which will be the location of it. Then you can promote that and everything else that you want to do. So that's pretty much it, unless you've got any questions.
I don't have any questions, but I do want to say thank you for all that work. I know it's a lot of housekeeping. It doesn't come up and look flashy and all this, you know, the fireworks don't go off when you pull the page up, but fireworks certainly go off on the back end, and it makes it much easier for the viewer to get to the fireworks page. So I appreciate it. And I think the whole board and the whole town does. So thank you very much. Okay, sorry, I have to get back to the agenda here. And John, is there anything else?
That concludes my report.
Okay. And then website subcommittee did not meet. Hotel packaging subcommittee, for this I'll turn it over to Jane Beeman.
Basically, we have established a package for May through June. We're not really looking at anything during the summer specifically because of the gas. Just to let you know, when I picked up the March taffy certificates, we paid a total of $59 for, and in April we were going to be paying $33. So here we budgeted $2,000, but I do feel that the advertising did contribute. I don't know why people didn't collect it, but that's that. So that's good for us. So we can move the money back to where you want it, by the way. One of the things that I've been looking at is, I mean, we all get things from travel sites, and since the internet and everything is a big thing, I sent you all just some information on Travelzoo. So this is something where the packaging committee is going to have to go out and work with the promotions people and put together some packages so that if we decided, depending upon what costs are, that we could go out and do an entire package, because that's what people are looking at. It's not just the hotels. It's what about dinner? What about spa? What about kayaking, which is what we're all about here. And we're looking more at winter months, because that's really what we're going to be geared to. And if we do that now, then we can be up on a site and have things going then. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that last time and the time before, John had brought up a golf site that we're still not listed on. So I don't know if we ever found out anything about that, but there is a golf site. And it mentions the Morro Bay Municipal Golf Course, and the only hotel that's on there is the Pines. So I still would like to find out more about that, and maybe our new marketing people can find out about it. That's it.
What did you say the name of that golf course site was?
The cost of all, but as far as how it functions, you know, you sign up and then you get last on, as Jane said, on deals.
Yeah. So it's basically, is it going to be cost effective? It can't just be a hotel deal. We've really got to package something. And, you know, that's what I've got to look into, and they're very willing to come here and talk to us.
Well, let's look at it a little bit more. Everybody take a good hard look at the site this this month, and then we can decide next month maybe if we want to bring them out and look at it. If it's like a Groupon, typically, and this is just the experience that I know about, typically if it's a $100 guest room, they want to buy it from you for significantly less than that, let's put it that way, and they'll sell it at 50% off. So they buy it at less than 50% of the cost of the guest room.
Oh, no, people book directly with your site. It's your site. In other words, if we directed it to more, that's what I'm going to find out about, but if we can direct everything to morrobay.org, the people book directly with your site. If we have a deal that says these hotels are going to offer dinner plus this is the rate for a hotel, they can book directly with your hotel. TravelZoo makes their money from the advertising that we pay as either a city or an individual hotel. They don't book the rooms.
All right, so let's definitely look at it really hard and then come back and have it as a discussion item. Okay, so thank you, Jane. Creative Subcommittee did not meet, although via email, the saver shot was selected. So we went through a lot of rigmarole via email trying to get the right thing going and I think get that cropped right. And I should mention that the Gary Johnson is going to be he's the photographer. Sorry, I couldn't get that out. Gary Johnson is the photographer on that, local photographer Gary Johnson. Okay, so Public Relations Subcommittee, did you meet? Okay, did not meet. That's G. H is Visitor and Conference Bureau Report, County Business Improvement, District Report, and I'll turn it over partway to Michelle. Go ahead, Michelle.
So I'll start with the San Luis Obispo County Conference, Slo VCB, that's easier to say. To answer John's question a little bit earlier, he wanted to know kind of what Saver was doing, and we had a board meeting yesterday. So they have done a lot more out of marketing this year. As John touched, they've got a firm down in LA, and something new that they're doing is they're doing what's called a Los Angeles San Francisco Smackdown, so with chefs. So they're basically kind of taking like a Battle of the Bay theme that Morro Bay
is
so famous for. And they're doing, it's L.A. versus San Francisco. It is
that's good.
Like Denver versus Boulder, Portland versus Seattle. And it's like a food little smackdown. And what they're going to do is they're going to have that L.A. San Francisco chefs. So they're doing all this PR in L.A. and San Francisco, and they're going to have their own chefs going on there, that PR, but then they're going to come here and meet at the Margarita Ranch and have a little battle. So that's something new, too, to
try
to get...
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, L.A. and San Francisco markets in the mix of that. They've hired the PR firm out of L.A. They also have Linda Parker Sanpei here in the county doing a bunch of PR, which they didn't have last year. This was what we were given yesterday. So as you can read, there's a lot of different things they're doing, a lot of different media releases. This is much more that they've got going on than they did at this time last year. Another thing that I thought was really kind of neat is they're also doing a lot more packaging with the hotels this year. Last year they had not one package really set up for Saver. This year they already have over 30 hotels that have signed up and are doing packages. So that's another new thing. And then another thing we discussed at the board level yesterday was they're trying to get, when you go onto the Saver site and you book something, say you buy a ticket, they're going to have it go to a page that says, where are you going to stay? So to remind people that they need to maybe make their reservations right then and there too. So that was something we discussed at the board. They still have to work out those logistics, but we're really, really pushing to get those overnight stays, to get that market of out of town market. And then, of course, Cat Cora, they're doing some stuff with Galaxy Theaters, 805 Living, Cal Poly's joined on board, the Alumni Association's doing blasts to all the alumni. So those are just kind of a few things. Crush, KCBX, KCOY. So they've got a lot more going on this year, I think, than they did last year. And then also Saver, they've got five. All of the Sunset magazines, last year they only had them go in the California editions. This year they're doing it in all five editions, which is really exciting. And then I think that's kind of everything. Really, Saver's been their big push over at the BCB, and, of course, the ED. And then, yeah, I think so those are some main things on Slow BCB. Oh, and then a couple things, too, that was interesting. This is just back to Saver, looking at my notes. They've had 130 orders so far. 80 of those were new, which I thought was very an interesting little statistic, because that means that we are getting already new people coming in to make orders. And we actually got to see at the VCB yesterday the back end of, they can track the zip codes that these orders are coming in, and there were quite a few of out-of-market zip codes. Granted, only 130 to go from now, but we will get to see those continuously, so I'll update the board on where those are coming from out-of-market. So I think there's a lot more push for out-of-market this year. I think we'll see a big difference. And then moving on to the BID Alliance, Karen and I went to that meeting. Karen wrote some great notes. So basically at the BID Alliance, as you know, we did Travel Scope. That was something that was kind of an alliance. They came through. Joan spent her Mother's Day morning, all morning with Travel Scope. So I'll let her touch base on that for the Oyster Tour. We also discussed at the BID Alliance the iFly Slow, which I know is on our discussion later, so that was a topic of conversation. The airport does have a marketing committee. Several of those members were at the BID Alliance just because they're part of the BID Alliance. I know John sits on that marketing thing, so that's something we can discuss later in the iFly Slow. Also, the CTTC, there was an opportunity brought before about co-oping, which like this travel planner program. It's very much just was a discussion, nothing of requests for dollars. Personally, speaking for myself, I think it's a little bit more money than we would want to spend on a co-op, and I think some of the other BID Alliance members felt the same way, but I can share that with you guys. Also, there was some talk about the County Scenic Loop. Cheryl is still working on that, and she's been in contact with Joan, I know. That was talked about a little bit at the BID Alliance, as well as some TV ads. There's some talk about maybe doing some TV ads on a co-op level, and doing something locally and out of market with TV ads, but nothing concrete. So those were just all discussions at the BID Alliance. So I think that's everything I have to report. I'll let John or Joan talk about Travel Scope and how that went.
Let's do a Super Bowl ad. Travel Scope. They came and they conquered the oyster beds and the bay on a bay cruise. It was Sunday, Mother's Day morning, and they had had rain for several days as they were visiting the Central Coast, and it was the theme was that it would be their anniversary kind of weekend thing up the Central Coast. And, of course, they got rained in up in Cambria and Big Sur. So that morning they got up and the sun broke, so they went back up and shot photos up there and were late getting to Morro Bay by about an hour and a half, such as the film industry. I wish Janice were here right now. literally just as they pulled in, the gale force wind came behind me and threw my hair over my face, and I could not see where I was walking. I mean, it was crazy. Alan was amazing on the boat, steered them out. They wanted to get as close as they could to the harbor seals. He backed the boat in, out, edged around, turned it sideways, got back, shot back around. I mean, it was pretty amazing how he guided that flat-bottom boat in those winds and held steady. He worked very, very hard. Because they were an hour and a half late, he has a calendar that's up with the time clock on it. We got out on the bay, and it was clear that we were not going to be back in time, so I text my husband, who went down and changed the time on Alan's clock for an hour later and turned away a full boatload full of people on Mother's Day. It was clear that they were not, an hour and a half later, going to be back off of the oyster beds. They were out there filming and on radio silence, and I had to text my husband again, who went down, changed the clock, and turned away a full boatload full of people, and then went to Chris Dorn and said, by the way, I know you've been holding this table on Mother's Day for these people, but you need to hold another hour. And our Morro Bay was phenomenal. All of those people worked very hard to do those things and make this travel scope effort as much of a success as they possibly could for this town. And I would be, I think, remiss if I didn't look to this board and ask you if there would be, and let me say right now, they've done it out of the goodness of their heart just to promote this city. But turning away two full...
They did not make it to San Luis till 7:30 at night when they were scheduled to be there several hours earlier. So I have heard through the grapevine, and nothing's concrete, that they may actually be returning back up to the county because they did not get a chance, an opportunity to see. They didn't realize there was so much here. And once they got here, they kind of got a little ahead of themselves. And so I have heard that there may be talk about them coming back.
When they got here an hour and a half late and said that they only had the 3 hours total, I said to them, no, your 3 hours starts now. And that's kind of how that went. We kind of, you know, once they were out on the boat, they were with us. So it worked out really well for us. Not easy to walk on water, so they were stuck with us. But it went really well, and they were really, 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 really nice people. So, okay. And I believe that concludes that report.
Yes, Michelle, one question. You mentioned that the county was doing hotel packaging for Saver.
What it is if you are a sponsor, the hotels have an opportunity to sponsor Saver. And if you sponsor Saver, then you get on the Saver website. And then those hotels have been encouraged to do packages. Saver packages, so you would include, you know, event tickets and a hotel room and all packaged all together. So the county basically has just went out and sent out this Saver package. You have to you have to be a sponsor of Saver to basically be on that website.
So independently, we could do our own packaging for Morro Bay.
Yes, and what's interesting, actually, if you go to Saver site, and this might be a discussion we want to have. The city of San Luis Obispo has, you know, a handful of hotels, and on there it says, so you pull up the Saver site, it lists each city, and then under each city lists whatever hotels are sponsoring. And what the city of San Luis has done is right next to it says city of San Luis Obispo, and it says stay in San Luis Obispo and win a chance for free tickets. So they're encouraging, once you go to the Saver site, they're encouraging the people to stay in San Luis over other cities to possibly win main event tickets. So that may be something for this board to discuss. Do we want to do something, do we maybe take some of these tickets that we're receiving for free and turn around and donate them back to maybe get people to stay in Morro Bay versus some of these other cities? So if you go to the Saver or the Central Coast website, you'll see that. On there, right? It says coming soon because they haven't said it yet, but it's on the site now. So it may be something this board considers. And actually, it could be more. The tickets would have to come from the board. There's only three hotels right now that are sponsors of Saver in Morro Bay.
Well, we do have a little bit of leftover money, so that's something that we can discuss next month. We'll put that on as a future agenda item. Also. Because Jane was saying that we have leftover money from Taffy Tuesday, so maybe we could buy a handful of main event tickets, because we don't have main event tickets other than for our booth workers. So, and we have a handful of those designated to get our people in. So maybe we can get a handful of those tickets that we can, you know, at different times. So let's look at that. I'll put that down. Saver packaging.
I mean, could we... promote people coming in a day early and do an oyster tour tied to the package, you know, as part of the package.
Well, Saver's already doing the oyster tour, but maybe we could arrange to do an oyster tour like on at the back end so that it's not part of Saver or something.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, either before or after. Encourage people to come a day early, stay a day later.
Right, because right now...
Five boatloads for Allen.
Yeah, exactly. For right now, for Saver, they already have the tour. You can pay through Saver, but you're right. I think maybe that would be a great discussion for this board. Maybe we do a Sunday tour that's separate. I don't know... maybe we get a hold of Josh and Steve to make sure that there's not any issue with that. But I think that's a great idea. I know one of the packages that Pismo's doing, and I'm going to eat up on this, so I'll go ahead and tell everybody because I'm sure everybody else is going to eat up on it at the VCB level. He's doing, you know, he's got this package together, you know, X amount of dollars for two nights and and main event tickets. Stay Sunday night for $99 in any room type. So maybe that's something that Morro Bay could do, or we could do it, or get a free oyster
so
tour.
Let's put this as a future agenda item so we can stay on track here. Saver packaging is a future agenda. And we'll let that out at our next meeting. Okay. And any other questions on that report? Accepted for file, unfinished business. Continued discussion of the proposal to combine the Community Promotions Committee and the Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board. And we had discussed doing this with a joint meeting today, which we missed the joint meeting today because there were some planning issues. And so I believe we're trying to get now under this a joint meeting time. Is that what we're working towards?
What the Community Promotions Committee is doing, and then you can decide what you're going to be doing, or what they're suggesting is that...
Which date? I'm sorry, what date is that? That's June.
Calendar's
people, June. It's like the 18th or 19th.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, it's not. That was May. June 16th.
June 16th.
Now, with that, would we conduct our regular business at that meeting as well?
After that?
I think both chairs will need to get together because to talk about the procedure, because you've got some items that you want to talk to in June separately. Perhaps you can have a joint meeting and then have the CPC leave. They didn't have any items they needed to discuss in June, so we're still working on format.
My suggestion would be that we talked a little bit about this at the first meeting, was to have the joint meeting, possibly, you know, if like approval of minutes, things like that could maybe be done jointly, then have all the topics that relate to the group together, and then probably have the promotions committee leave because you have so much more on your agenda than they do, especially because we're pretty much done as far as the promotions committee because we've expended the dollars. Theirs is a lot more cut and dry. But the issues that they still have, like transition, you know, this joint meeting thing, that could all be discussed, and I think they all want to leave because a lot of them are merchants, and that's one reason why they wanted to have it at 8:30. Not to say that you guys aren't merchants and that you need to go back to your work, but they're used to leaving at 9 o'clock or 9:30. So.
And because originally, and I know Andrea missed the last month when we had this discussion, we were going to do 8 a.m., the promotions committee, and then 9 was the joint, and then 10 was just us. So what happened with
that's
that?
That's going to be one of the items on your agenda to discuss.
Okay.
So we're not doing that format. This will be a joint meeting, and we'll discuss, you know, the future of combining the boards, having one board meeting first and then having a middle section where all your information comes from the marketing company and then having you go second. So that will be an item of discussion.
That's what we'll discuss.
Yeah, a little bit confusing, but you've got it.
I think it'll kind of work out that way, is it anyway, just because the reason the promotions committee isn't going to meet at 8 is because they really don't have
probably a full hour.
Okay. So they'll do their normal, you know, the minutes approval and things like that. You guys will probably be done around maybe jointly round 10, who knows, and then they would just leave. So it's sort of similar in a way.
Okay.
So do I need a motion for everyone to meet at 8:30 a.m. on the 19th, or can we just agree on that? That's how we notice it, and we're done. 8:30?
I don't see a problem with that.
See head shaking?
Yeah.
I see head shaking.
I do want to just remind everybody it's the day before school's out, just for anybody that has children, but I don't think that matters to anybody here.
Well, it matters to me.
That's why I've been bringing it up, but I don't know. It's the day before. Is it the last day of school or the day before the last day of school?
That is the last day of school.
It's the day of graduation.
Graduation.
Okay.
I'm just kind of throwing that out to remind everybody.
Yeah, I'll just have my husband take in those clown cupcakes.
That
will be fun.
Well, that's...
Okay.
So 8:30 here.
Okay.
Your agenda will actually reflect that.
Your agenda will actually reflect that time change.
Okay, great. Okay, terrific. Thank you. So we are moving on to under unfinished business B, the continued quarterly review of funding requests. And thank you for your patience, Judy. You are amazing. We have the Central Coast Writers Conference to speak to us regarding their presentation. For that, it's Judy Salamaca. And I probably said that wrong.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Ooh, perfect.
a couple more items. Thank you. I apologize that I didn't know to be here last month, so I didn't know it was going to come up this quickly. When you have an event coming up in September, yet I started working on this immediately after last September, just things. I don't expect everybody to be on the early bird time frame that I often am. The Central Coast Writers Conference is actually going into its 27th year. The Writers Conference was originally called the Cuesta College Writers Conference, and a few years ago they changed the name to broaden it to represent the Central Coast. The intent of the conference is to invite published writers, authors, agents, editors to come to the Central Coast and have writers, aspiring writers from the county as well as throughout California and the Western United States come to the Central Coast and meet and greet and stuff. But it's been based in San Luis Obispo, where people typically will stay. And because I live in Morro Bay, felt that it was equidistant to go to Cuesta from San Luis or from Morro Bay, I really felt that the visual presence of and the quaintness of Morro Bay was more conducive for my faculty to be able to stay here. And then on top of that, the goal was to attract the other attendees to come and stay because the faculty was there. If you're coming to meet and greet and get up close and personal with people in the industry, you want to stay close to where they are. So that last year in my learning curve of doing the conference, for one thing, learning everything I had to do for the conference, the promotion of it was probably the already on kind of a track, and so I did the promotion that was done before, and this year I wanted to step it up. The things that I did change last year was to bring it to Morro Bay, to have my faculty stay here, and to try and get them to stay longer by having a post-party that they would want to stay for. In the past, the party has been a gathering of the sponsors and the volunteers and the faculty at one of the homes in San Luis Obispo, and it was not formalized, and so the feeling of it was that it really wasn't that important to stay, and so most of the faculty would leave. Last year, I wanted to showcase the Central Coast wine and cuisine, particularly of Morro Bay. It just so happens to be on the weekend of the Avocado Festival, and so I booked the post party at Coalesce Bookstore, and I had five wineries from the area, and then local. I had Windows on the Water, and did their sorbet. Avocado Commission, the girls came in along with Bill Coy and did various presentations of avocado, and anyway, we had about five food offerings as well.
and that we had 100% of the faculty did stay over, and I also had a nice compliment from Dave Congleton that he thought it was the party, best party that they'd ever have. And Dave used to be the director of the conference, so I was very pleased by that. So what I really am asking for is a partnership with you in order to expand the marketing outreach to targeted areas. And I feel it's a baby step. I'm asking, I think, a conservative amount, because to spend some radio advertising, which is the other piece that I sent, I believe that because we're a nonprofit, because there's some giveaway opportunities, and because of the advertising that I did last year with a couple of these stations, I can leverage a minimal amount of $600 buy and get some additional spots because of the offering and the giveaway that we can do. And I particularly wanted to target the Monterey area. San Francisco, I have a terrific resource up there through the Writers Network with Lori McLean, who is helping to advertise up there through her network. So I am not going that direction. And Fresno, the Fresno area. And I'm formerly from Bakersfield, so I have some very good connections over there that I'm going to be doing presentations over there, so I'm going to try and do it on the free media and through networking and that I have through my Facebook over there. But I'd like to go to the Ventura area. So that's kind of an overall jumping around and telling you a little bit of what the conference is and what I hope to do and what I'm asking of you.
Okay, stick around. We'll probably have some questions for you after we open up for discussion here. Go ahead, Michelle.
300 is currently what we typically sell out at. Out of those, half of those are from out of the area.
Okay, so here's my other question. Have you approached Dial-A-Ride or any other transit, a small transit thing here, so that they could take the people from Morro Bay, if they stayed here, to the conference and back?
I haven't done that, no.
Okay.
But a good idea.
Any other questions for Judy while she's up?
Judy, does the Writers Conference have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, it does. It has both. Listening to your website representative here, I was saying I would die to be able to have something like that. Right now, the website it is communityprograms.net, and it is. We're working on posting all of the new information right now. The Facebook site is Central Coast Writers Conference. It's actually my personal I'm the administrator of it, and so. But Central Coast Writers Conference, you'll get there for the Facebook, yes. And that is also. I heard something yesterday from Brian Trapp, actually, some research that he's done. He had gave a presentation yesterday morning at Windows for the chamber, and Facebook, he said, was an absolute really good target, too, that I'd like to spend a little money there, too.
Quick question. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
For the site, right now, we only have 242.
Okay. Okay. Stick around. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just so I understand how it works. That I'm looking at the schedule for like session one. Are these all different breakout sessions? So you get small groups of people going to each one of these sessions, yes, kind of thing? I'm just trying, yes, to get an understanding.
Right. There's the keynote there, that is Friday evening. And actually, we've started a pre-conference that is going to be open to the public. There, the technology in the industry has changed so dramatically, and also what writers are going to have to do, even if they have a publisher. So we're doing a pre-conference workshop for 4 hours that we've never done. And then, so we'll do that. Then there's keynote is in the evening. Jonathan Mayberry is coming from Pennsylvania and staying here for 5 days and touring. I'm also touring him after the conference for a couple days for some setting research that he's doing for his another thriller book. And then you start your sessions. Friday evening, there's the first session. There are 7 workshops to choose from. Then the next day, there are 3 sessions, 8 sessions to choose from. And in between that, there's also a contest and additional large group information.
I mean, this is a planning nightmare, so I appreciate what you're doing. It's a lot of work that goes into this thing with all these sessions.
It's a love job.
What would make their visit, the time that they spend in Morro Bay, more valuable to the conference and to the participants?
The stay over to, I'm really hoping that someday that the Avocado Festival will be a 2-day event. I think that would give more value and stayovers for more people to come to Morro Bay, just not only for the writers, but also for other, you know, other people to come to the event. But the things to do on Sunday, places to go have coffee, or breakfast, and then encouragement after they've been through all of those workshops on Saturday evening, they're pretty spent. And so to have a leisurely day and then an opportunity to stay over on Sunday night, which a few of our people are staying over on Sunday, to just actually find their better nature and just enjoy and discover the area, that would be the best thing.
I guess I'm just thinking about on Sunday when you give everybody a writer's pass to Morro Bay and they get 15% off of wherever they go, and you get 300 extra people in town just, you know, taking advantage of everything we've got for them to take advantage of. I think there's a real opportunity here. To
it's being Morro Bay this year. Yay. And last year it was as well, that's right. Being Morro Bay again this year. And so we can look at this at a number of different ways. There are some opportunities for us to look at her Facebook page and maybe with minimal cost get some different photos and things going on there with a little assist on that from John. I'm sure, John, you have a treasure trove of photos. I'm sure that out of your pirate's chest you could send some photos and things her way to bolster the Facebook page. There's also ways to do this with in-kind advertising that might already be going out to some areas. John, any ideas? Can you help me out with some ideas?
I think what Judy has is an excellent type of an event that would bring out of market people. I think it has the potential to be another photo expo, another bird festival.
Right.
I think that, you know, it's hard when you have these types of an events to not have cash, you know. So I think that, you know, my recommendation, which is certainly your guys' decision, but I would certainly recommend that this would be a great event and not only, you know, contributing to what Judy's looking for, but also, you know, as a board, embrace this as a major event. And with that, then, would come a lot of more advertising, you know, as far as being included in all the different e-blasts and all the different things on the website and, you know, all running ads in Bakersfield and Fresno, just tagging this as a major event, because I think it has the potential to be like the Photo Expo, like the Bird Festival, because I think that people, writers, would find real solace here and, you know, inspiration, just as they, just as photographers do.
John, would it be a challenge, because right now we're going through this transition, would it be, would you be able to do that in this, because it kind of, we're kind of down.
Well,
the
I think
here.
The reality is that I can certainly work with Judy through June, mm-hmm. but you know, it's going to be the other agency is really going to be the one that's going to have
right.
to, you know, basically just incorporate them in all the advertising, mm-hmm. which I'm sure they'll be able to do very well.
My goal. Can I interrupt?
Hang on one second.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jane.
I'm in full favor of this event, but I also am looking at it as a combined promotions event because of what John said. I mean, the restaurants could have poetry, just adjunct poetry readings, you know, over at Lolo's Mexican. We got to have events to keep them here, and that's why I was talking about the transient, because if we're looking at, even if we hit the 300 and 150 are outside and we already have the rooms for the faculty, we're looking at maybe 75 more rooms. So it's really advertising and keeping them here. And so this is a huge push for the promotions people to come up with events that won't cost the promotions committee but will get the city involved in it, which I think is important.
The goal is to ultimately get the writers to come back on a non-weekend as well, and also to use it, as it was mentioned by Janice, as settings in to get Jonathan Mayberry to write about it. Based here is huge. He's a New York best-selling thriller writer that I know someday we're going to be able to say, I knew him when his movies are presented to us. And so it is exciting. I'd love to be able to link the video of the hotels too to our Facebook site. I think that would be a perfect way to get them to look at all the other hotels.
So I think what we're looking at as a board is supporting this somehow. I would look at supporting it with some caveats. One, that Judy's the Facebook page for Central Coast Writers would have to be linked to the Morro Bay page, themorrobay.org. Anything that's published needs to be linked to morrobay.org. Has this gone to print yet? This would need to go to print with visitmorrobay.org for visitor information. That would be very important to me to make sure that we're guiding traffic back to the hotels. I would say to you that what we can do is I can organize with you if it's okay with the board. If there's 70 or 75 more rooms to come in, I'll organize a hit out to all of the hotels so that they have an equal shot at giving you some room rates to pass along to your guests as they come in. And so basically what you would do is compile information, say, you know, rooms available here at these rates. And if they wanted to do any specials, like was suggested, you know, stay Friday and Saturday for the writers' conference, get 15% off.
They may want to get involved as well.
They may want to get involved, and this would be a great topic to talk to them about, this exact kind of thing, when we come back at our next meeting. So definitely we can discuss that. So I would look for a motion to support Judy with $2,000 of in-kind advertising so that we can stretch that instead of necessarily throwing $2,000 out as a cash. I would see that the ads that we're already running, we could run in Target for her. We do a lot of targeted ads in those areas and in the months that you're talking about. So we could target some of our ads, have her work with the advertising agency, and to help her move forward, and also to get her Facebook bolstered up so she can get lots and lots of friends on there.
Do you need some cash, or is in-kind advertising okay?
I think some cash would be helpful. as I said, I'm right now the second year is the next step of pushing the advertising. And so whether if I'm understanding Joan right, is it tagging onto or is it is it a focused ad? I think that somebody, if it's come to the writers conference as a tag on, I did that last year with some of the public radio stations, and I don't think that's as effective as actually having an ad that a talk show person can talk about and say, oh, this sounds like a good thing, and they have a contest going. That's, you know, that's what I'm thinking. So I don't know if I'm understanding what the in-kind is.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead, finish your
thought. I said I'm not sure if I understand what the in-kind support is. If it's you already have goodbyes in those markets, and these are, you know, there's a 30 or a 60 that can be bought there under your contract to save money, then that's, you know, that certainly would be helpful. If it's I'm doing the buying, I don't have that kind of leverage, so I'm going to have some cash.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. So that clarifies it. So I would like to make a motion. Oh, there is? Oh, who made it?
I was looking for a motion.
I
was looking
around.
You were seeing if we were ready for it. I was fishing.
Yeah.
For a motion.
I have another question. John, in Judy's funding request, she had listed $2,500 as her budget for her radio spots, and now she's looking at $2,000 from us. She's looking at a July 5th to July 31st target run with three stations. Is that a realistic budget for a 60-second spot?
Well, it would depend upon if the stations were sponsors and, you know, what Judy's worked out. One thing I was going to suggest to you, you might consider doing this just as we did with the Photo Expo, excuse me, and maybe promotions could add in another $1,000. I can't speak for them, but it'll be a new budget, is to attribute some money, like $2,500 or whatever, that would go specifically toward the marketing of this event that the agency would do, working with Judy. So Judy could say, you know, I'd really like to, you know, hit this Monterey area. Can you help us? So that's kind of what we did with the Photo Expo, because there was earmarked dollars because it's a brand new event. It needs its own specific advertising, but then to embrace it and have that tagged on to everything else would really be helpful as well. That's kind of what I would suggest, because as John mentioned, I mean, you see the coordination effort that's needed in something like this. You already have somebody willing to do that. I mean, we don't have to go out and reinvent an event and try to find a coordinating committee and do all of these things. And it just seems like it's a great investment, because I think this would really grow, and I think eventually would produce a lot of overnight stays.
So we could use our agency's buying power and leverage it out to maybe do better than she would do, is what you're saying, as an individual or first time.
I think it would be helpful, but I think what Judy's saying is, if I'm hearing her correctly, she'd like to have some dedicated advertising support. So, I mean, I don't think that's an unreasonable request for a new event. And, you know, if it was $2,500, but the direction would be that the agency work with Judy, you know, get what her goals are, what she's currently doing, and then help her leverage that buy, but actually make the buy on her behalf. And then get maybe help you grow that other $2,000 that you have, you know, into even more.
So now, once again, back to the board. I'm looking for a motion then to move forward with this.
I would make a motion to grant the full $2,000 that the conference is asking for for advertising in the radio media station, and to work with our advertising agency at putting the spots together in the targeted markets as listed of Fresno, Ventura, and Monterey, Santa Cruz.
I'll second that.
Discussion? The only discussion I have is to make sure that in those spots that it guides people back to our visitor-serving website, morrobay.org. And they have to, you know, stay in Morro Bay when they do that. Go over there and they have to book a room and eat in our restaurants and buy sweatshirts that say Morro Bay Lifeguard. So We have the motion. We have the second. We have any other discussion on that?
Just a comment. I think this is good. I'd go 25,000. I think this is a great one. I would really like to maybe look at this as challenge the promotions committee and some other people around town to turn this into something special. We've got banners that are going to be going up on the Embarcadero. Mm-hmm. We've got the new mm-hmm. mast thing at the top of the Centennial Stairway. We're going to have flags going up in that, I guess. Why don't we find out who's doing all, we know who's doing it, and say, why don't we put a sign on that, you know, welcome Central Coast Writers Conference, stuff like that. Let's try and get the different parts of this community to really work together on an event to make these 300 people feel really welcome here. And use it as an example of how to do it right going forward. Just a comment.
Agreed.
The only thing that I wanted to say is, since we are having writers, let's not make any murder mysteries or murder stories in Morro Bay. Love stories at work.
Okay. Murder mysteries sell.
Okay, so we have a motion. We have a second. I'm going to look for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. And once again, Member Jaquez did not vote, just as a reminder over there. Okay, Judy, we look forward to working with you, and it's exciting.
I want to say thank you very much, and I feel it's a bonus that I'm going to be able to work with John. Thank you very much.
For a limited time. You'll be working with this young lady, too.
And Judy, let us don't forget to get together via email so that I can help you get a blast out to all the hotels. Okay? All right. Okay. Here we go. I'm sorry. We are on C now. Report and discussion of the marketing transition.
Chair Solo, I can tell you that the marketing contract for Barnett Cox is on the agenda for the 24th. I know that your committee, as well as the Community Promotions Committee, has created a transition subcommittee, and our thought is that both those subcommittees will be able to meet with the new marketing agency sometime after May 24th to talk a little bit about marketing plan. And perhaps we can have that occur before your June joint meeting, and you can bring back all your progress.
Then we shall keep this as unfinished business. Thank you very much, Andrea. And D, confirm a date for a future workshop joint meeting with the new marketing agency and the Community Promotions Committee. Now, is this two full boards and the marketing agency?
I think that's what it was originally thought. But you're really going to be having both your full boards and your marketing agency at your next June meeting. So I think this issue is maybe moot.
A little redundant. I like the way it makes our meeting move quickly, though. Thank you. and now we move then to, we move to discussion of Jackrabbit. And unfortunately, we have lost Member Beeman.
So Member Beeman asked me to state what she would like brought up.
Great.
So basically what she had stated is, and I told, basically she stated that she feels that she's getting a lot of click-throughs, that there's a lot of click-throughs coming through with Jackrabbit, but there's no conversions. There's a zero conversion rate. And she stated that she would like to see if there's a way we can find out those conversion rates. But I explained to her, and this board could tell me if this is correct, nobody's going to know your own conversion rates except for the individual hotels. You need to go look at your analytics. So I don't know if we maybe send an email blast out to all of the hoteliers to have them look at that. I don't know where this board wants to go with it, but it's not. I told her we don't have information on individual hoteliers' conversion rates. There's no way for us to get that information. But she's claiming she's getting, you know, hundreds of click-throughs a month. She's one of the higher click-throughs, but she's having zero conversions. So if everybody's in her boat, why were we doing Jackrabbit? So that was her request to bring forward to the board.
I think that conversion Well, yes, conversion information would be part of the Google Analytics side of the whole thing. You would have to go back to 33 hoteliers individually. As you know, when we surveyed the hoteliers for what direction they wanted the board to go, we got 11 responses out of 38 or 48 surveys that we sent out. So I would say that that information is probably pretty difficult, but not totally impossible to get. Conversion rates, to me, are left up to the individual hotelier. It's very similar to conversion rates that vary via front desk clerks. You know, if you have 8 front desk clerks lined up, one front desk clerk is going to have the highest conversion rate in your company. And, there's going to be, hopefully the bell will be small, but, you're going to have different conversion rates for every individual, just like you're going to have different conversion rates for each individual hotel. I understand what she's trying to get at, though. If everybody is converting where she's converting, then we're not converting anything, is what she's saying.
I think this might be an issue or a discussion that might be better served if we put it off till after our new marketing agent comes in, because I know one of the features that we were looking forward to seeing with new marketing agent was tools at looking at what our websites are giving us and the tools within the websites are giving us. So we might get more information from that. And at this point, I don't know that we're are we under like a contract date-wise with JackRabbit that we have to look at that we're...
Well, I believe that we started, I can tell you, we started JackRabbit in May. Hang on.
Is it a yearly contract or a month-to-month?
I think it's a yearly contract. I think there are clauses to get out of it as well. I think it's, as you guys have already discussed, there is no magic answer to getting conversion information, no matter who does the, whether it's my firm or anybody else's firm, because it really is purely going to be asking somebody, how did you deal with this? And I think that's really probably where you'll need to go with this. Maybe have a joint, have some kind of meeting with the hoteliers, have a, lodging meeting. I know in Pismo, one of the things that they've done, which has been really successful, is they formed a lodging group. And, they meet and they talk about things like this. And that may be something for the future, to have kind of a hotel-motel association. I know it was in the past, a long time ago, but that maybe want to be revisited again, because that's where you can really talk together about this stuff. I mean, it was the same in Pismo. I mean, but with the advent of the BID, it actually made it more viable, and they actually wanted to do it. So that may be worth a try again.
And we started JackRabbit in June, I think. That's kind of what it looks like.
I think it would be interesting, though, for at least this board to look at how you're doing, and if there is some sort of consistency there, and you have the same results as Jane, and there's something wrong.
I agree with you. Yeah, if nobody's getting any reservations, if we're not converting, it's all about the conversion.
I know one dynamic that I noticed right off the bat was that, and it would make sense that when people go to JackRabbit, they tend to start shop the cheapest first, and then they move their way up. So basically, you say, well, this one's whatever, $49. That sounds pretty good. Let's see if I want that place. And then you might not find the amenities you want, or you check it out, and then you go on to the next level, and to the next level, and to the next level. And then finally you find the hotel that you really want to have, and you book it. I'm not saying that's true for Jane's case, but, that's the one dynamic I saw right off the bat as far as how hotels listed with JackRabbit for clicks was the cheapest were the most clicked on. Not to say that they were the most converted either.
If I had a hotel, would I be able to know for sure what my conversion rate is?
You can go into the back of your analytics and you can see the referral from JackRabbit off your reservations page. So there is a way.
A referral or an actual conversion where I've actually got a reservation?
Well, it's probably going to depend on each individual reservation system and what their reservation system is compatible upon.
So the answer is not really, not for sure.
For my property, when you go in and you land into my reservation page, I know where that came from. So in my hotel, my system, we could find that out. I can't speak for some of the other systems because everybody has their own property management system. So it's going to depend on how that property management system gives you that information.
Right, and some, I know that Jackrabbit doesn't allow Reservation Nexus to be scraped, and I believe that Jane's system is Reservation Nexus. Is that correct?
Yeah, but what she did state is, so since Nexus couldn't be scraped, she's now done, she has her another website that she does, and so what she's stating is that website that makes that reservation has had zero reservations, which is why she knows she has a zero conversion rate. So I would suggest to this board, maybe we just send out a letter on the back end asking people to look at it, see what feedback we get. If we get feedback, we get feedback. If we don't, we don't. But it's at least a start. And I agree with Karen. I think this is something that maybe a couple months down the road is really looked at, but maybe we start that process now of just trying to gather the information, because as we know, gathering that information could be a several-month process.
I think that would be a good suggestion, because if it is June, you know, we're coming up upon our contract, so maybe an email to the hoteliers saying, we want your input. You know, do we want to continue with this, you know, booking agent? I mean, do you see value in it? And just, you know, maybe specifically ask, you know, how is this converting for you?
We did, during the survey period when we were having the hotel meeting, we did ask them about Jackrabbit, whether they want to continue with it, whether they felt it was value for their hotel. And I can go back to that figure, but I believe it was somewhere around 70% of the hoteliers felt that it was a value to them. But I can go back to that figure on that survey and share that with the board via email, as long as you don't, you know, all respond to each other because of the Brown Act.
The only problem is that survey only, we only got 11 people. And so that's to
true.
Me, that is not.
Well, we did do a second go around. We ended up with like 19, like half the people.
Okay.
I know that there are enhancements that Jackrabbit does, because Pismo elected to do this, and it was like an enhanced page. I don't know whether that would increase conversions or not, but I mean, there are other aspects of it. But I think it would be really interesting just to collectively to see, I mean, if you guys as a group of hoteliers that are getting zero, and it's like, you know, four or five people that collectively could talk amongst themselves and say, wow, there's something wrong here. Or if it's not the case, then it's an anomaly.
Rick, did you have something you want to add? Because you always have value here.
Yeah,
you know about the scraping.
Yeah, this is right up my alley. Okay. First of all, let's get down into hotel speak. We're talking look to book ratio. How many people come on your website to how many people convert? Okay. Now, do we care how they come on the website? It then it becomes cost to acquire a customer to come on your website. Okay. So here we got this. This is one of your websites. We got Google searches, we got Bing searches, we got Google AdWords, we got Jackrabbit, we got morobay.org, we got any advertising that you might have, print media, whatever, says lasarinain.com. Okay, so we don't know. It's a dumb situation once you get them onto the website. You don't know if they've come from Jackrabbit. You don't know if they come from a Google search. You do by looking at referring URLs, but is a Google search person going to be more likely to make a reservation than a Jackrabbit person or a morobay.org person? You can't really figure that out. So each of you would have a look-to-book ratio. You would either know it or you might not know it. Now, here's something that I've had to stand up in front of 500 Best Western hotels and say this. Michelle could have a 0.5% look-to-book. She needs 200 people to come on her website for one reservations. Joan has a 1%. Karen does really good. She has a 2%. So for every 50 people, she gets a reservation. Karen doesn't want Michelle to know this, you know, because she's doing a lot better. So it's more, it's very proprietary information. It would be like Andrea giving out sales tax information. It got this retail merchant of this instead of a collective thing. So it's going to be very difficult. But one of the things is Jane, you know, how would she know if it's just a Jackrabbit person that's sitting on her website or a morobay.org? So anything you say for Jackrabbit has to be applied to morobay.org or any other thing that we drive traffic to your website to, because there's really no distinction. Once they come on, they lose their identity unless you've got some more sophisticated tracking thing and you've got your own booking engine that can do tracking code and stuff like that. So that's what, you know, you're talking about. So now, my opinion, which is one of the last times you'll be able to hear this, is that basically what you do is then you go down cost to acquire a customer. What is Jackrabbit sending you? How much is it costing? We did the same thing for Pismo yesterday, and we found that Jackrabbit was sending us at 22 cents a piece. Now, then I challenge you, how could you drive traffic to your individual websites for 22 cents a person? Okay, that's a pretty high thing. You can't even send out a mailer and then get a 1% return on your mailing investment. So that's the way you look at Jackrabbit, okay? And anything else you do is, what's the cost to acquire a customer? What's your personal look-to-book ratio? So in other words, we sent 500 people to Jane's site. How much would she cost to go out and get those 500 people? Now, maybe the 500 people, she's got a 1% conversion rate, made 5 reservations, average length of stay is 2 nights, average ADR is this, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's some of the things I look at. I'm sorry, it's just a number game to me, and you can't really get Jackrabbit out. John, you know, if he had got Morro Bay Jackrabbit at $5,000 a month instead of X amount of dollars a month, that's one thing to look at, because you could have take that $5,000 and throw it into Google AdWords and drift traffic to it, or did some event that drove a whole bunch of traffic to your website. It's the same thing. Whatever we do is going to your individual websites, and at that point in time, you have your own personal website look-to-book ratio comes into play.
One thing, too, I think that we need to remind ourselves with Jackrabbit, too, is they might go on and see Jackrabbit. Doesn't mean they may not even book through the website. They might call your hotel direct, and there's no way to track that. So we have to all take sometimes all of this analytical information and put it a little bit in perspective as well.
Yeah,
so.
When I'm working reservations at the hotel, I get that all the time. I get people say to me, I'm on the website right now, and I say to them, what website are you on? I'm on Travelocity. What website are you on? I'm on morrobay.org. Okay. You know, I always ask them whether I found you through TripAdvisor. I found you through. I gotta say that's a question that, you know, comes up because they're looking at the room, so I have to cue into what pricing they're looking at.
Well, I think also too that a lot of people will. You know, we've got two reasons why we did Jackrabbit when we did it. Was because we wanted to be competitive with our competitors. Because if you go on almost any tourism site,
that's right,
they all have the ability to find out when you can book, when you can't, you know, what is available and what's not. And then also was what Rick said was the cost. Because at one time it was $5,000. It didn't look like that with our budget, especially when it was small budget, that it wasn't going to work. But I think that's really the key, is that a lot of people, maybe the first thing they do is they find out who is available. Then they go to all those, they go to our lodging guide, you know. I mean, there's just really no way to tell. But it's been proven that it's definitely something that people are utilizing. So basically, when in any advertising, you know, you got to always step back and go, what's in it for me? You know, what's in it for the customer? Well, what's in it for the customer is convenience and finding out what's available. So in that sense. But, you know, there's not to say that there aren't other services. You know, we picked Jackrabbit because the county was using them. I think they're exploring other, you know, booking agents, I believe. Aren't they, Michelle?
No, actually not. Redoing their website, but I know Jackrabbit really hasn't been up for discussion. You know, they originally had a different one, and then they went to Jackrabbit.
Okay.
But I know that's not on their first priority list.
But, I mean, that's something that you could consider, you know, for next year, evaluate them. But the idea of a direct, and I think I'm preaching to the choir here. I mean, the idea of book direct is important.
Right. And the whole book direct thing on there, it's going to help some hotels and not others. Hotels with, I think, larger inventory. You know, again, I go back to Morro Bay is about the size of one mid-scale hotel. So when you look at how you control room inventory and everything, you know, on your mid-range hotels, on your mid-range rooms, they're going to get booked out a lot quicker and a lot more frequently with that book direct, because people are going to go in there and click on those, you know, $150 night rooms or whatever. So, you know, is it going to work for the Estero Inn or the Andersons? Maybe not as well as it works for the Days Inn or, you know, any of the Best Westerns. So,
Just one last piece of info that I'd like to give you. Touched on it here from my experience. For every $1 you book online on your website, you should be booking $4 to $7 via telephone call. So that's kind of a good conversion rate there. And one of the things we do at morrobay.org in our listings, we're exposing your hotel phone number all the time.
Right.
At any point in time, as Michelle and Joan both said, they could stop looking at a website and go to the telephone, say, do you got a AAA, you got an AARP rate, you got anything else? That's the way my wife does it, and I'm sure you've all done that yourself. So there's another factor that you've got to bring in, that Jackrabbit could bring them to Jane's website. Then all of a sudden, Jane's website is now exposed phone number wise, and there's a conversion rate there, unless you're tracking that with a specific 800 number that's not available anyplace else except for a website. So, thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do answering our questions on the fly. Okay, so what are we looking for here? We're looking to go back to the hotels and see if we can get some of this information, because, again, it's proprietary.
It is.
And
yeah.
I don't know that they're going to want to share it with us.
I think we throw it out there just to kind of see. It's been a year. Maybe we don't even ask for specific information. Just ask, hey, are you guys happy with it? Is this something you want us to go down? I think,
yeah, it's a
and
yes
that's what
no.
I told Jane, is it's proprietary information. They may not want to give it to us. Maybe some will. I mean, we all share our information quite a bit. Other people may not, but I think it's something we should at least just ask the hoteliers.
And I think when we phrase that question to them, it should be along the lines of, do you want to continue with a book direct system? Are you happy with Jackrabbit? Should we be exploring other book direct systems? You know, so they have some different ideas.
I'll tell you what, Karen, you send me those questions in an email form. I'll put them into a survey and get them out. If the board is agreeable to that. Do we need a motion on that, Andrea?
Let's do.
Okay, let us have a motion to create a survey regarding Jackrabbit, no more than 6 questions total, right, to see if the hoteliers are still interested in continuing with a book direct, not necessarily Jackrabbit. Is there a motion for that?
I move that we create a survey to send out to hoteliers in Morro Bay on the question of Book Direct and Jackrabbit specifically, and that it be no more than 6 questions.
Second. Okay, good. Thank you. All in favor? Aye. You're aye. Okay. All right. And opposed? None? Okay. And so, Karen, you and I will work on that for the next month then. Okay, terrific. And where are we? I'm sorry. I've lost myself. Okay. C. We're on C. Discussion of the iFly San Luis Obispo. Michelle?
Okay. So at the BID Alliance, they kind of came to us requesting some kind of call to action for opportunities to kind of support the San Luis Obispo Airport. I'll bring up my recommendations, but I think I do have to say, and this, Karen, I think was yours. Basically, they have different sponsorship levels of what, you know, you can... For $35 to $99, you can be a friend where you get a baggage tag, drawing for 2 airline tickets, and you get recognition in a newsletter. You can do a bronze sponsorship, which is $100 to $500, and you get recognition on Facebook page, 50% off of parking. So the levels all go up to platinum, which is $10,000. Personally, I think that this is something maybe we do on more of a co-op county level, and I know that my recommendation at the BID Alliance was maybe that, to me, these aren't value-added as a hotelier. So I kind of directed the people that are sitting on the marketing with the airport that maybe they come up with something that's a little bit more value-added, because it, for me, I guess City of San Luis, for example, is giving $25,000. Well, great. If you did that, you get... recognition on the airport terminal, you flight info desk, you get free parking of 2 vehicles for a year, and you get reduced rate parking for any additional vehicles. Well, as a hotelier, that really does not suit me well. I don't really care to spend that much money. There's no value added to it. So this may be a little bit of a premature discussion. I know that the BID Alliance was talking about maybe doing some type of co-oping where we would all buy in. Right now, Karen had some great pictures. It shows there's a lot of empty areas, and John probably has a lot more information about it, too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of opportunities.
I'd like to comment on it. I think that, because I've been on this free marketing committee for a long time, and I'll just speak frankly, I've become very frustrated, because I don't think that what you just read off there, that's peanuts. You know, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything for the person contributing, and it's not going to do anything really in this grand scheme of things for the airport. I think we're kind of coming to a point at some place that we're going to have that kind of come to Jesus meeting and talk about, you know, what are we really doing here? And, you know, I brought up some ideas about say, for instance, one problem that I have that I think with the airport is that they have a grant of $500,000. They want to take all of that money and just give it to an airline as a guarantee. Now, in fairness to them, the reason they want to do that is because that's what the airlines want. I mean, who wouldn't want that? But the problem that I've always had with that, and I've worked with Allegiant Airlines when they came into Santa Maria. I've worked with Santa Maria Airport. I currently have the Merced Airport, so I know a little bit about airport marketing. And always my topic to them was, well, great, you get a flight to Colorado, to get, say, a flight to Denver, but then nobody knows about it. You eat through that $500,000 real quick, and then they leave. So it's always been my feeling that if we get an airline, or even if we don't get an airline yet, one of the things I had proposed to them, and I don't think it ever happened, was say they go to Denver, and whatever airline that would be. Say it's American, and we want to try to get direct flights to Denver. I think it would be better to go to each BID and ask each BID to pledge only when the service comes, not as a, you know, as a risk. When the service comes, we'll give $25,000 each to spend in Denver to get people to come here, and tell the airline we're going to give you we're guaranteeing you $100,000. The other part of that, though, that I've said to them is $100,000 to somebody in Denver doesn't sound like a lot of money. So you'd have to show, you know, what we would do on top of that with co-oping and hotels and things like that. Also, just to let our constituent, or, you know, our residents to know, if we did a campaign here, how much $100,000 is to get people to go there. In other words, our media, you know, in Denver, probably a TV spot costs $2,500. I'm guessing we're here, it's $250. So those are the kind of the bigger picture things, and I think, like, personally, I think it should be taken over by the county VCB. I think when they get their funding, I think it's more important for the county to have a presence at the airport. The only reason Pismo did is because nobody else was doing it, and we kind of thought we'd, like, set the stage. And I think that video that runs, it'd be much more appropriate to have a county video run in there. I've sat in there for, like, 10 minutes and listened to it over and over and over and over again. Maybe it's because I edited it, so it's also really boring to me. But, you know, it'd be better to have a nice county video there. It would be great to have everybody represented throughout the airport, all the different destinations. But that list, it's always been aggravating to me because that's such small potatoes compared to what you need to market brand new air service.
What I think that I, out of all of this, which is kind of why I even had brought the topic up before, and obviously it's been a topic on the BID Alliance, is I think there's a few things we could do, like on our website. Like, I went to our website and looked, and there is no information about the San Luis Airport on our website. There's no information even on Amtrak, which I know Amtrak's on here, but I think that maybe we could put a little bit of information on our website about the airport. And also, they request that maybe their tagline, the I fly slow, is maybe put on some of our advertising stuff. So I think those, I mean, I don't, honestly, I would not want to see any money, like flat out cash, put to that. But I wouldn't mind supporting the airport in some other areas as far as like our website and just information and things like that. Because I think until the airport can come along and, like he said, see Jesus, I don't see us wanting to put a lot of money into it. Yeah.
Well, and I think really what, and I wasn't at that last meeting, but I've been at previous ones. I think what they're sort of looking for too from like this board is some guidance as far as, you know, if you guys felt like, yeah, this should be a county, I mean, you should get the county VCB involved. You know, that would be good direction for the airport to hear that, because frankly, there's been some pushback on that. And why, I don't know. But that kind of direction would be good going forward, and that we want a bigger picture. You know, these little items do not really do much for us. We would like a bigger picture brought to us, something that would be substantial to the airport and some substantial reward for the people contributing.
One of the things that I've noticed with the formation of all the BIDs is that many of these entities, like regional airports and so on, are reaching out to the BIDs for cash infusions. And what they don't recognize is that they come with a one-page thing offering two parking spaces for a year for $25,000, but they don't show us a complete marketing plan. And the one thing I can say about our VCB is over the last year, they restructured themselves and they have put together a comprehensive marketing plan to show value. And that is not a comprehensive marketing plan. And so I really feel like if they're going to come to us for that sum of money, a marketing plan needs to be behind it. I'm not behind giving any money. If we want to tag iFlySlow onto our website or something like that, you know, we can look at that as we move forward with a website subcommittee meeting. But I'm not for any money. The rest of the board, since we're on discussion, any feelings on that?
Yeah, finally, an area of expertise. I know something about airports.
Okay.
I mean, I understand what John's saying, and it's you know, when you get off the plane and you're going into the airport, you're seeing all the welcome signs of Cleveland and all the activities that Cleveland has to offer. And when you're leaving...
Does that fill up much? I'm kidding.
When you're leaving, you see the other side of those signs, and those, the other side of the signs are all the places that airline is going to, kind of thing. And at this airport, I realize we don't have long ways to walk and things like that, but there's really little or nothing. There's little rack cards for restaurants and things like that, but there's nothing that really promotes this county to people arriving. You kind of get off the plane and think, what am I going to do a little bit? You know, it'd be nice to get some help. Or as you get on the plane going to Phoenix, I kind of expect to see pictures of Sedona and the Grand Canyon. I think those aren't there either. So the airport can be selling that space to Arizona and can be selling the other side of that sign to us. And I think the key word that John said was a little pushback. Maybe that's what we need to do, is shove back at these people a little bit and come up with a plan.
Karen, any thoughts?
The only thought that I have is that one of the feelings that I got from the County Alliance was exactly what we're talking here. You know, we all express the same thing. We want to support the airport. We want the airport to succeed, but the airport needs to do its share in showing us what they have. And the sponsorship program that they put together basically to me was, and I think other people at the Alliance meeting agreed, you know, more corporate-oriented. Maybe that's where they're looking at this point, and that's great, but it's not a T-bid issue, I don't think, at this point.
I think it's really just a mindset, and you know, we've had this marketing committee, and we've kind of given them our input, and I think now it's really to say, because they have no money, but it's basically to, you know, and I was even thinking that, you know, like this $100,000 pledge, whatever it would end up constituting, and have that equally matched by the county. And, you know, then you got $200,000, you know, maybe $100,000 spent locally and $100,000, you know, in another market or however the formula would be. But I think that's been the real problem, is that there's just not this real, you know, effort on a large scale. It's just the small stuff, and it doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't get anybody anywhere. You know, I mean, what's $1,500 a month? It doesn't buy anything, relatively speaking.
Nick, any? No comment? Okay, so I don't believe that we have support for this off our board.
I would like to see us maybe on the website subcommittee and just look at the website.
Agreed.
But I think that's about it.
I think we can look at the website, and I think we can also look at when we look at the visitor guide. I know the airport phone number and its directions and stuff are in there. I don't know if we can tag in the iFlySlow or whatever, so we can discuss that, though.
But I think if I could just ask, and it wouldn't have to be, you know, a guarantee by you guys or anything, since it's, well, it is on the agenda, but not that this proposal, but if I could go back to them and pool, you know, Pismo and you guys at least, and say, you know, they're looking for a bigger picture. You know, they want to see more a concrete marketing plan, even if you don't have money, how you would get the money, and have the county VCB more involved. Those things, if you felt that you were in agreement with me, I could go back to them, and that would be a starting place.
Yeah, I mean, I that sounds good to me, because when you come in to Slow Airport and you go into the baggage claim, it's like a void. I mean, it doesn't even have a list of like Morobe.mobi, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's in there checking their phones from their flight because they've had their phones turned off on the flight. They get in there and I mean, they could just go straight in. And yeah, it makes sense to me to market in that little, what's baby steps, market in that booth, that small space first. And
I think John touched on it too. It's very unwelcoming right now. And I think that the VCB or the BID Alliance with the county it should have, you know, all the events, and it should, like you said, the VCB should really be leading the charge on that, and having that when you walk in and you drop into this county, you see everything that there is to do. So I think we all agree with that.
Okay, so we will get some support going off website and off the visitor's guide and move forward that direction. Okay, discussion on the Car-Free San Luis Obispo program. I don't know if anybody was able to look at that. This was forwarded to me from Councilmember Smuckler as an idea for us to look at. And right now there's no municipalities on the Car-Free SLO. And Morro Bay, we've really kind of built ourselves as a walking town or a bicycle riding town and all of the things that you can do within walking distance. I mean, I constantly have, and probably everybody here does, where can I stay where I can just walk to everything? And, you know, it's a site that I'd like us to maybe take a look at doing some type of link to our site. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look over their site, what you thought of it, or what you thought of the email that was forwarded to you. But I think it might be nice to have somebody from there come out and just tell us a little bit more about their site, how many, you know, hits it gets, and what exactly direction they're going in, because it does fit with our ecotourism mode.
I agree. I think this is something that would be great to see. I have to admit, though, I started to read up on some of these links, but I didn't get very far. So I think we need a lot more information. Maybe we could ask them to come and give us a presentation.
Would the board like that? Okay, so maybe I can schedule something for July with them, because it looks like June we're doing the joint meeting and we've got a lot on our agenda. So I will try and reach out to them to schedule something for July with Car-Free San Luis Obispo program. And when they say San Luis Obispo, they mean San Luis Obispo County, by the way. Okay. Making note to self. And discussion of design for the new trade show booth. We get to look at my diorama.
Okay.
So we have budgeted $3,000 for this, and then I talked to Andrea, and she said that we could use a little mock-up. And so the mock-up is not perfect because it was done in my kitchen. And we're talking about two surfboards, and John has some information on what we would cover them with.
Well, we found one source that, and I have just one copy. I can pass this out to you, but there is a place in North Carolina, that will laminate these boards with a color image. And I actually saw these at the LA Times travel show, and they look really cool. So the idea was to, instead of, you know, going with the traditional booth like we have now, or we used to have, is more like getting pieces and putting it together and then being able to modify it, whatever the size of the booth is. I think we also talked about the possibility of some, you know, pull-downs. You've all seen those where it basically goes into a little case about like this, and then you pull it up, and it's and I have a copy of that. It's a pop-up. And when I went to the travel show in L.A. as well, I noticed that almost everybody had those because they're very lightweight. Very colorful, they're not that expensive, and I'll pass those around too, and they come like in a real easy case. So maybe the combination, I think we talked about the combination of some of those, maybe one or two of those, and then the pieces that you see here. Basically the cost for these surfboards, at least, and I haven't explored it too much because we just kind of started talking about this recently, but is about $15 a square foot, so it's not really that cost prohibitive. I'm sure there'd be shipping costs and everything else involved, but might be a really great way to go. It's very creative. But anyway, I'll pass. I'm sorry, I only have one copy, but
So he's talking about $15 a square foot for the skin. And the skin is, if you've ever seen a wrapped vehicle, it's very similar to what goes on a wrapped vehicle. What's good about doing that, rather than having the pictures, we discussed having the pictures glassed onto the board, is if we wanted to change the skin, we still have the board. So it's about $400 to get a board that we can just get shaped white, doesn't really matter because it's not going to be surfed on. It doesn't matter about the size of the individual and all that kind of stuff. So we can get a couple of boards, like a small board shaped and a medium-sized board shaped, and then wrap them with these skins. And the skin, I looked at the surfboard skins online quite a bit. And the skins, you can have one skin on the top and one skin on the bottom. So on this, what I did was kind of tore apart the visitor's guide and just used some of the pictures that were in the visitor's guide. But we could do one that was like the history of Morro Bay and one that was just like the Morro Bay logo. It could go, you know, either direction that way. And these could be something that, you know, could be stored on the wall in our visitor center, which could also be very cool year-round. So there's all kinds of different, you could do just activities and that kind of stuff. So I think that for the two boards, it would probably cost somewhere around $1,200 or $1,500 with shipping, with the boards being shaped out and then wrapped. It's something different and kind of unique. I don't. This was one mock-up that we thought about, and I love the pull-downs are very similar to this video screen over here, where it just kind of pulls down, but it's like on a stick. It's like
it actually pulls up.
It pulls up. I'm sorry. It's, it pulls out of the thing and then hooks on a stick up at the top. It's backwards, so the weight is at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bring extra weights to anchor it.
So the suggestion for the pull up or pull down is to use the picture from our saver, the one in your diorama, and the skins could be rotating. Now, one question about the skins with the boards, can they still be thrown on a rack, on a roof rack? So anybody that's going to a trade show, how do they hold up that way?
We'll have to get a couple of board bags. So a couple of board bags, and then, yeah, they get tied down to the top of a car, or, you know, it depends. If you have a mammoth vehicle like some of us do, it can be slid down on the inside. But, you know, if you're in your Prius, it would have to go on top.
And your middle piece there, is that an easel?
That's just an easel with a photo on it. We had talked about couple of those that could interplay depending on what we were, you know, what we were doing. Nice pictures that were mounted on like a foam board. Mm-hmm. Is that what we were discussing?
Right.
In most trade shows with the boards, the easel, and then a table out in front for your media, the spaces are big enough to handle all of this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it would vary from obviously what we did at, you know, the Sunset Saver was a huge booth that we probably wouldn't, you know, have that call for that. But most of them are would accommodate a couple of the pop-ups and a couple of pictures. You know, I think it's amazing, especially in a small space, how you can fill that up, and it makes it look really nice.
Was there any discussion with the trade show about investing in, like, a DVD playing TV to have on hand so we could run our DVDs on tables during shows?
We actually have we have a TV right now that we use. It could certainly be upgraded. It's a small one, but it's that we did use that video at the LA Times show. To be honest with you, people really don't watch it very much. I don't think it's not a bad thing to have, but I think if it was bigger, you know, we might want to think about that at some point, because it's a small little TV you guys remember from Saver, it was that TV. It's pretty small. And so maybe if you did invested in a flat screen and had it a little larger and then had it, you know, maybe mounted in the back where people could actually, you know, see it coming up, that might be a good way to go, too. It creates some more visual.
And the cost for the pull-down then, because I'm trying to think of if we're looking at maybe $1,200 to $1,500 for the two boards with the skins, what's the cost of the pull-down?
I think those range anywhere from, depending upon the size, anywhere from $400 to about $800 a piece.
So we might have enough left over then to do something in terms of video show.
You mean another TV or something, a larger TV? Well, we could, right? Working those shows, I totally agree with John, though. people do not stop and watch the video. They will stop and watch the video if it's the size of that screen over there. I mean, like if it's behind you and it's going, you know, change, change, change. But if it's even large, sometimes it becomes cumbersome to have out on the table in front of you trying to talk to guests and hand something over to them. It becomes a little bit more unmaneuverable, unless it's like up and back and mounted, and then we're talking into about something to mount it up there. So, you know, I love the idea of having this huge video screen that rotates the pictures, but then we're really talking about getting into a lot of money. And when we talk about maybe not going to the LA Times show and just doing the Sunset Celebration, depending on whether the LA Times show splits next year, and then maybe doing one other Southern California show, we're really talking about only two or three shows a year that we're investing in, because Savor, what we do out there, is something totally different. So I think we might want to be careful. For example, to rent that video screen that we shared with the county last year, that cost like $40,000 from Thursday to Sunday, or some ridiculous amount of money. And so, and not for us, because it was a buy-in by a bunch of people. So, but what I'm trying to say is they're very expensive.
So then it sounds like with the setup as we have it here, we'll come in under budget then for, didn't we have a $3,000 budget for a trade show?
I'd have to go back in my minutes.
I think that's what it was, and I think
we'd be
pretty close to coming up with that. And to give you a perspective, I mean, if you looked at, like, that happens to be a local company, Banana Displays, and they do those pop-ups. Anything that's like a constructed booth, you're looking at about $8,000 to $10,000.
And I was going to try and look locally for somebody who did the skin to try and cut down on the shipping. I don't know if anybody in TV land.
I called and made a call in, but they weren't there, to Genoa Graphics, so we might be able to utilize somebody like that. They do large, they'd certainly be good for the large blow-up photographs, but I'll check with them, and they may have another source. But I think the reality is that, online we may just,
yeah,
it wouldn't be that difficult to work with somebody, I think.
So am I hearing a consensus that, generally speaking, that you like I don't know exactly what those photos and everything are going to be, but generally speaking, you like the idea behind, and those two boards can be stacked together, they can be stacked apart, that one can go, two can go, that kind of thing.
No, I do, definitely. I think it's creative and it's new, and it's definitely moving us in the right direction from where we've been with our trade show booth.
Yeah, there's no decision anymore now about utilizing the old one, because it's toast.
Thanks for that, John. Okay. All right, so we will move in that direction, then. We don't need a motion
It would be nice to have a motion accepting the concept as shown.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept that concept that's been, we just spoke about, and the idea of the skins and the pull-up.
No. So. Is there a second on that?
A second.
Any discussion? There was a question, will it be done in time for celebration weekend? We might be able to pull the surfboards off. I know a guy who can shape them and get them pulled together that we can probably get a killer deal on. So we'll check that out, and we'll do our best. How's that sound?
I think for celebration, you could at least get some nice blow-ups, put them on easels.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a show down in L.A. that for Pismo that was a wine show, and we didn't really have anything. And I just got a couple of, wine shots and a couple of ads that we did, and it actually looked pretty nice. And it's about the same size as a celebration.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Declaration of future agenda items. Let us cover that very quickly. We have Savor Packaging. Tyson is going to come back with the tourism study, but that's at the joint meeting. We have to put a reprint of the visitor's guide on there. We have survey results that will come back under unfinished business from... the survey results are going to come back regarding Jackrabbit unfinished business. And Let's see. Anything else, Andrea, that I'm...
I have one.
Let me read what I've got. I think I've got everything you've got. Discussion of reprinting the visitor's guide. Discussion of TBID presence on the hotel section of the Saver event website.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion of the Jackrabbit reservation system with survey results. A car-free slow presentation in July. And a discussion of funding for Lost Isles tours for lost compensation. And that's going to be a question for the city attorney before we put that on the agenda.
Okay.
And that's what I've got. Did we match?
We did match. Did you have something else that I missed? The Lost Isle. Okay. Anything else, members? Okay. And now we get to the big question. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion, we adjourn.
Get your sleeping bag. Motion?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Have a wonderful month. Sell out.